NBC News Radio, I'm Pete Williams. President Bush says the U.S. will stick to its timetable for handing over power in Iraq, but he expects attacks against Americans will increase as June 30th nears. NBC's Tom Aspel in Baghdad says U.S. forces are moving against rebels in the Iraqi city of Fallujah.
We've already heard reports of explosions and gunfire around the town, and Iraqis say a number of Iraqis have been killed. But we understand from the military here that the operation has not reached its climax yet and that it will probably continue for another couple of days.
The U.S. says an Iraqi judge has issued a murder warrant for a Muslim cleric whose forces have been battling coalition troops. He's accused of taking part in the killing of a fellow cleric last year. A new study finds a link between attention deficit disorder and too much television. Researchers say for every hour spent in front of the tube, a child's chances of developing concentration problems increase by 10%. The advice? Cut down on TV time. I'm Pete Williams, NBC News Radio.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
Hey, law dog, I'm gonna gun you down.
With what?
With this here single action 44 caliber. It's got a muzzle velocity of 700 feet per second and increases kinetic energy of the projectile by 63%.
Can I just see that?
Technology. It's how the West was really won. Watch Wild West Tech this Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, and you'll see how. Only on the History Channel.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 60 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Firefighters still battling the Picnic Rock fire, but they have gotten a handle on it. I'll have details on that story in a moment. Now let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
And this time around, we're not looking at very much of anything wrong on the freeway system. Traffic moving along in good shape, posted speeds for the most part. Little minor slowing around 6th and Washington because of a minor accident. Also a remnants of a car fire, 14th and Inca in West Denver. That one should just about be cleaned up by now. Now use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, firefighters have been able to get a handle on about 50% containment on that Picnic Rock fire near Fort Collins. According to officials, the fire has consumed more than 9,000 acres and is still threatening about 20 homes. Fire officials are assessing the situation today to decide if more people will be able to return home. Dozens of residents were allowed back home on Saturday. So far, fighting that fire has cost an estimated $1.5 million. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. Sex assault investigators with the Denver Police Department are putting together the cases involving the recent attempted sexual assaults near the DU campus to hand over to the district attorney's office. The DA will decide what charges to file against the suspect, who was arrested on Thursday. There are two incidents that investigators believe are connected to the suspect based on the time, location, and description that was provided by the two independent victims. The suspect, who is 40 years old, was taken into custody at his home without incident on Thursday afternoon and was also wanted on other outstanding warrants. Investigators will be presenting the case to the district attorney sometime this afternoon. Drunken driving is a plague on our roads and must be stamped out. That's the message of those behind the National Alcohol Screening Day, which is set for this Thursday. Dr. Kerry Broderick with Denver Health Medical Center says our nation's DUI stats are downright sobering.
More than 100,000 deaths annually in this country are alcohol-related. About 7.6 million emergency department visits are related to alcohol, and the costs of alcohol abuse to this country annually are $185 billion.
As part of this nationally recognized program, Denver Health is offering free anonymous education and screenings this Thursday. Participants will complete a written self-test and have the opportunity to talk privately with a health professional to determine whether they unwittingly have a drinking problem. In sports, the Colorado Rockies getting ready to open their regular season tomorrow in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks. They'll play three games against the D-backs before heading to L.A. Rock's home opener set for April 12th. That's also against Arizona. Colorado Avalanche finished their regular season yesterday, losing 2-1 to the Nashville Predators. It was the first time in 10 years that the Avs failed to capture a division title. Avs are seeded fourth in the West, and they open the playoffs at home against the Dallas Stars on Wednesday. Regular season for the Denver Nuggets is winding down with only 5 games left. They're off for a couple of days before heading to Phoenix to play the Suns. Vista Ridge, a great new family community, now offers everything from condominiums to single-family to custom homes, just 20 minutes north of downtown, on the web at VistaRidge.net. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
No matter what happens,
where it happens,
or how it happens,
get the information you need here first.
First,
AM 1150, KNRC.
KNRC.
Hey, what do you have there?
Oh, this? It's a ticket to a singles party at Coors Field Summit Room. I got this as a bonus for signing up at that singles company called Cottonwood Connection. They're having this great spring membership drive, so all their memberships are half off. Plus, you get this ticket to this party at Coors Field.
Sounds interesting. Tell me more about Cottonwood Connection.
This singles company is the best I've seen so far. They simply help singles connect through a variety of fun events and activities, and also they have this great profiling system that you can view other people's videos right on your computer at home.
I bet they're expensive.
Not at all. They're a quality singles company, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg to join.
Well, I'm not a big baseball fan.
Oh, there you go again, making excuses to get out of something that is good for you. Come on, step out of your box and step into what you want in life.
Ooh, will you buy me cotton candy or a snow cone?
Hey, that's not going to look cool in front of the women at the party, dude.
Call Cottonwood Connection at 303-424-2300 or visit their website at cottonwoodconnection.com and take advantage of their half-off special and free ticket to the Coors Field party. That's 303-424-2300.
I'm Mike Stinnefort with the KNRC forecast of the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. There will be a risk of a shower or a thunderstorm, mainly over the western suburbs. Our highs low to mid-60s. Showers and a few evening thunderstorms night low near 40. A few showers Tuesday and Wednesday. Highs Tuesday mid-60s. Cooler on Wednesday with a high only in the mid-50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stinnefort on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 60 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. I think some of our American Idol people I don't know what they do here on the weekends, but when I come in to do my show at noon, it's like a slob city here. It must be, I don't even want to know what is going on here on the weekends, but it is pretty bad here. I expect cockroaches and mice to jump out at me during the show. And if I screech, if I say eek, that's what's happened. I don't know who's been doing what in here, but it's a mess today. I had a great time at the press club Friday night. I have to tell you I was asked to sit at the head table, and my dinner partner was Carl Hiaasen, the honoree. What a wonderful writer and what a terrific columnist he is, and what a wonderful event the press club put on. It was a lovely, lovely evening. I would have gone back afterward. There was the cocktail party in advance that I went to, and then the dinner itself, and I would have gone back afterward. I probably missed a lot, but it was raining and it was cold. And I think I thought I had enough partying, and so I actually came to the office and got caught up on a bunch of stuff. I want to let you know what's coming up this week. Friday, let's start with the last week, day of the week. Friday, live from the Denver Press Club. We do those shows once a month. I rarely hear from you about those shows. If you'd like to give me some feedback, you be as candid as you like. If you like the Press Club shows that we do, if you want to suggest some themes, because we always have a theme, and the theme this month is baseball, because the season starts pretty quick here. When does the season? Today? Is it today? Today. That's what I thought. That means you're going to pay more to park your car, Joe. I can tell. Anyway, so baseball is the theme this coming Friday, but if you have theme ideas for upcoming press club shows, I like doing them. It's kind of fun because people come in for lunch and you can schmooze and cruise and it's lots of fun. Tomorrow, Kate Lehrer will join us. She is a novelist. Her new book, Confessions of a Bigamist. She is the wife of Jim Lehrer, whom you watch on public television. Wednesday, we will be joined by Philip Margolin, best-selling author. His previous bestseller, Ties That Bind, he'll be live with us in studio. His new book, Sleeping Beauty, which I think is already making its way on the bestseller list. Brian Greene will be joining us on Thursday. His new book is already on the bestseller list, I think number 5. The last time we looked, The Fabric of the Cosmos. And next Monday, Craig Unger, The House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. And mark down April 19th on your calendar. I will be leading a discussion at Tattered Cover Lodo, 7 p.m. The book in question is Peace Like a River. It's the One Book, One Denver book. And so it is open to the public, free. If you want to come by, I'd be delighted to meet you and have you participate in the discussion. And that's Monday night, April the 19th. And April 24th, I'll be at the Zonta Club luncheon, emceeing that. And it's at a country club in, which I've forgotten where it is, but I'll be there. It's in, I want to say Jefferson County, but I have it written down someplace. Well, let's start out with the news. The news is that wealthy real estate entrepreneur Dave Leininger took his name out of the running for Colorado's U.S. Senate seat today, leaving Bob Schaefer, who doesn't have a chance, as the only high-profile Republican seeking to replace Ben Nighthorse Campbell. There has got to be a story here. Why did Leininger take himself out? And am I pronouncing that right, or is it Leininger? Leininger? Anyway, why did he decide? I think he dropped out because he probably realizes that he didn't have a chance. It's going to cost him a lot of money, a lot of time, and where is he going to be? Nowhere. Scott Schaefer isn't going to make it. The guy leading in the polls big time is Ken Salazar, if you can trust the voting machines. And again, there's that fantastic piece in this month's The April Vanity Fair. You've got to read it. I have it here, and I'll share parts of it with you as we continue. But this is by Michael Schneerson, which one of their top writers, calling Hack the Vote, glitch-prone and vulnerable to hackers. The electronic voting machines that will be nearly in nearly every slate this November could make hanging chads look benign. And then they specifically reference what happened in the election in Colorado between Strickland and Allard. And, you know, Zogby called it for Strickland. He said it was close, but that Strickland was going to win. And let me see what they say. In Colorado, where these electronic voting machines had made significant inroads, incumbent Republican Wayne Allard was judged to be running neck and neck with a Democrat, Tom Strickland. Yet, won by a margin of 5%. With these outcomes, the Senate majority has tipped from one party to the other, shifting all committee chairmanships with their power to set the nation's political agenda into Republican hands, and that has not been a very good deal. So, anyway. Also, looking at Mike Litwin's column. Those of you who went to the, I want to go back. I want to talk about the rally that was on Friday. And those of you who were there, I want to hear what it consisted of. I did see a report in the paper, and it was not a huge number of people, but I saw that the protest was at least made the newspaper. This is on the retaining Jim Turney. The killing of Paul Childs, and a couple of columns since then, Mike Litwin's, and today's Jim Spencer in the Post, Mike Litwin's in the Rocky over the weekend. But before I get there, I just want to finish it up about Ben Nighthorse Campbell. Believe me, if you think that he retired because he had acid reflux or was getting indigestion, I got a bridge that I want to sell you here in Colorado. There's got to be more to that story, and I think that there probably is more to that story, and I think more of it will be revealed. And why Governor Owens, who his press secretary did not want any stations to take his press conference live when he declared that he would not be running for Senate. The press secretary, the story I heard was the reason they didn't want anybody to carry that press conference live is they were afraid the governor was going to break down and cry. He wanted it so badly, and he can't do it. Why can't he do it? And why didn't anybody ask him whether his extramarital misadventures, or at least the allegations or rumors thereof, would have been a factor? What is the real story here? 303-382-1150. And apparently, he also shut down the questioning, and only a few people got questions in. But boy, the press has been really protective of him, handling him with kid gloves. If everybody decided to get on the same page, if all reporters said, you know what, the party is over, we're going to ask you the tough questions. Believe me, they can't shut everybody out. I think that's the only way to do it. 303-382-1150, but you will hear all that news here. You haven't heard it anyplace else. Now that I've broken ground and it's safe to talk about the governor's extramarital rumors, now you're seeing reports in other publications as well. But everybody was too timid and pointing the finger at me that I was irresponsible for retailing these rumors, and the rumors are thick and fast. What is it with protecting the power structure in Denver? I don't get it. That means reporters are not doing their jobs. 303-382-1150. I mean, you know what? Talk radio's got one standard. Reporting the news has got another standard. They are very, very different. I'm not doing news here as much as I'm doing talk radio. And in talk radio, the universe of talk radio deals in facts, but we also deal with opinion, in opinion, and in speculation. All of that is fair game for talk radio. But there are parts of the newspaper that are not dealing strictly with the news. There is commentary in the newspaper where somebody could at least have asked the question that ask the question as to why nobody else is asking the question. That would have been fair game. You didn't see it anywhere. You saw a profile of Governor Owens in the Denver Post, never once mentioned his marital separation. I couldn't believe it, unless I missed it. Maybe I skimmed it, and it was in a part that I skimmed over. But I never saw it, and I never saw any mention. Not only did I not see that he was separated from his wife, a well-known fact, but somehow didn't make it into the biography of a man or a retrospect kind of a piece, looking in retrospect as to what his accomplishments were over his years as governor. Here's a family values guy, no reference at all that I could see, that I recall seeing, to his marital separation. Now, that is huge news. And probably one of the reasons why he's not running for the Senate. But we don't really know, do we? Because did anybody ask the question? I don't recall that anybody did. Maybe they did. Anybody who was in that press conference, you can set me straight and cuff me around and slap my hands for saying the wrong thing. But I don't recall seeing, something about his family. He needs to devote more time to his family. Why? That was never an issue in all the years that he was, that he's been an ambitious, highly ambitious politician. Why suddenly his family? You know, when they say they're resigning to spend more time with their family, that means they get fired or there's something else going on. That's the story. 303-382-1150. All right, Mike Litwin's column. Was anybody at the Paul Childs rally on Friday, 5:30, going over to one of the police, one of the police, whatever, District 2 office? Okay, here it is. Mike Litwin. You know, or you should know, Mike Litwin writes over the weekend, that the mayor would love nothing more than to fire James Turney. This is Politics 101, firing Turney. The cop who fatally shot 15-year-old Paul Childs would offend only the Denver cops, the odd talk show host, and the reflexively pro-police types. Most of the other people who care deeply about this issue would, I think, applaud the decision. So why won't it happen? Litwin tells us why it won't happen. He said, surprisingly, there are actually reasonable answers to this question. Whatever else happens, we can start with what we've called the Turney rule, which is suspended or not suspended, disciplined or not disciplined, Turney will never, as in never, be allowed back on the streets. Well, I'm sure that that is the case. I have said that repeatedly. He's never going to go, but he can't. I mean, it's too dicey a situation to put him back on the streets. So you want somebody at his salary pushing paper around? I don't think so. The new police oversight rules, announced rather grandly, Litwin writes, at a news conference in December, were not in place for Turney. But even if they had been, according to those who should know, it wouldn't have made one bit of difference. Chief Jerry Whitman's recommendation of a 20-day suspension is the fourth review of this case, following the DA, the Shoot Board, and the Discipline Review Board. Meanwhile, Manager of Public Safety, Al LaCabe, whose review is to be completed within 15 days, is free to ignore everything that has been done before him. You may ask, then, what exactly is the point of all these reviews? Where does this leave us? Where else? Back at the beginning, Litwin is writing. So this is the beginning. It was learned that this was the second black kid with a knife that Turney had shot. Although, to be fair, the first case, he says, Litwin feels seems like a reasonable shoot. All right, here are some questions. If you're sufficiently responsible for someone's death, you need to be suspended for it. Why aren't you responsible enough that you should be fired? After all, somebody died. That is a good question. And if, as we can be sure, Turney will be stuck in some corner of the department, say, filing barking dog complaints, why should we be paying his salary while we wait for him to eventually get fed up and leave? But now Litwin is going to give us the answers to these questions. As you may have heard, there is a civil service commission, and there is every chance that if Turney were fired, the board would overturn it. There's a concept called comparable discipline, and we know what discipline has looked like in comparably questionable police shootings. And if Turney is fired, it's possible in what would be a record for the city to lose million-dollar lawsuits from both sides, from Turney's side and from the child's family side. And they already have Johnny Cochran that they have retained, so you know what's going to happen there. But there's a bigger issue. Litwin continues. If Turney were fired, many cops would never forgive Hickenlooper, who, as it was described to me, might then have the same relationships with the cops that Clinton had with the military. Plus, Whitman might not survive the resultant infighting. And still, after all that turmoil, Turney could be reinstated. So no matter how LaCabe rules, and yes, that's Hickenlooper whispering in the answer in his ear, this is a no-win situation for the mayor. Either one side will be angry, or more likely both sides. For me, if you have a no-win situation, then you might as well do what's right. So I hope that LaCabe does what's right. If the city's got to deal with a lawsuit from Turney, fine. And in today's Denver Post, Jim Spencer is talking about a tale of two cities. You decide whether it's the best or the worst of times. In Denver, a policeman kills a knife-toting retarded teenager, and authorities have yet to recommend more than a month off. In Louisville, Kentucky, a policeman kills a gun-toting, dope-carrying teen, and the cop gets charged with murder and endangerment. And he goes on to make all these comparisons. He says, you know, Bill Ritter, never. He says, Ritter could charge a cop killer, but he has never done that, a cop who is killed. Nor has Ritter ever left the decision to the people on a grand jury. He could have, and he didn't. And it goes on and on. But I think Denver has got a real problem on its hands, and I think Turney's got to go. 303-382-1150, what do you think? Are you interested in this? Are you saying, you know what, this doesn't affect me, so screw Turney, screw those cops? It does affect you. It absolutely does affect you. There, you should have a police department in a city the size of Denver that you really can trust. 303-382-1150, and remember, Paul Childs was familiar to Turney. Turney knew about him, presumably knew his history, had dealt with him in the past. Barbara, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Barbara. You there?
Hi there. Hi. Yeah, I'm here. I agree with you on the policeman. He should have been fired right off the bat.
What about the argument that if we fire him, he's going to, not only is the city going to have to make a big payout to the family, but he will no doubt file a lawsuit against the city?
You know, I don't know. It's so screwed up. But the fact that the man had called his mother-in-law and threatened he killed another kid, I mean, the man is not what I want protecting me. It, you know, I just don't, I hate to see where money controls everything, but of course it does. But what I wanted to call about,
I'm with you on this. That this guy, he threatened his mother-in-law. He did shoot two black teenagers, both of them with disabilities. I think he's got to go. And if it's going to be a lawsuit for the city, so what?
Yeah, I do too, because I think he's not, he's not trustworthy. Would you want him protecting your family?
No, and he's never going to be out on the street again. He's going to be filing barking dog complaints, and whatever they're paying him, it's going to be too much to be doing that. You can get a clerk. You can get a clerk to do that.
I agree. The other thing I called about, I'm a hardcore Democrat. I mean, from the word go. And when everybody got on Clinton about his Monica Lewinsky thing, it drove me crazy. I don't like to see us doing it now with Owen any more than I did with them. Who cares about these people's sex lives?
Well, the difference is, did Clinton run as a family values guy? Everybody knew what was going on with them. When they did that interview on 60 Minutes where they were having to address the Jennifer Flowers allegations, the message that was very strongly conveyed was, we have had problems in our marriage. Hillary was standing by her man. We've had problems in our marriage. It's between us. We're working them out. It's not like, I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. It's my marriage. It works for me. None of your business. And then we all said, you know, if it's not a problem for her, it's not a problem for us.
Which is exactly how I feel. And, you know, yeah. All of the Republicans are a bunch of hypocrites with this family value.
Well, that's why I think it's important. Here's a guy who's Mr. Family Values, and the rumors are swirling fast and thick. And some reporters, nobody's been able to nail him down. So maybe they are just rumors. But a lot of reporters believe that there is something to it. So we'll see. And he, and curiously, when the announcement was made of a separation, he never said nobody else is involved, which is always everybody's first question when somebody, when a couple splits up.
Yeah.
So I think it's legit. I think it's legitimate because he's made family values such an issue and being holier than thou such an issue. So if you're going to do that, you better watch out about that glass house.
Well, that's true. That's true. I hate to see what politics is.
And I hate that he's so protected. I hate the power structure in town.
Have
apparently the knee pad business is a very brisk business. They're all wearing knee pads. They don't want to mention it. And I think that that's not, I mean, I think they're not doing their jobs then.
Well, I have to agree with you there. The entire, well, look at what they, how they treat George Bush, for God's sakes. I mean, he's so, such a good guy.
Well, exactly right. But I think maybe things are starting to change. I'm hoping that the worm turns, and I'm hoping that we can get the e-voting situation settled so that our votes actually go into the column that they're meant to go into. And, Barbara, I thank you for the call. 303, is she right? She says I shouldn't take Owens to task. You want to comment on that? Should I not retail those marital rumors? A guy who made his career on family values, the rumors are thick and fast. I'm careful to label them rumors. That's what they are, but boy, there are sure a lot of them. And he has never addressed any of them and never said in the announcement of a separation that nobody else was involved. So do you think it's a fair subject here? I'm happy to entertain your thoughts on it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Chances are when you were young, you had a sense that one day you would find your soulmate, marry, and live happily ever after. Then you grew up and realized that it's hard to find that perfect love. And happily ever after may be a dream you're close to giving up. Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. And I don't want you to give up that dream of finding your soulmate. Because at eHarmony.com, happily ever after is a dream that can come true. It just takes the right person. At eHarmony, we help you find that right person by matching you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility. Broad-based compatibility is the reason more eHarmony matches result in marriage than any online dating service. So log on to the fastest growing relationship site on the web and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, where compatibility makes all the difference in the world.
Win lodging and passes to the Taste of Vail from KNRC. The Taste of Vail is a dream escape for food and wine connoisseurs and features incredible foods, wines, and activities in one of the world's most picturesque settings. Register by 9 p.m. April 5th at the Rap Gallery at Aspen Grove. Win two nights lodging and passes to the Taste of Vail. Register at Rap Gallery at Aspen Grove by 9 p.m. Monday, April 5th. Winner to be announced Tuesday, April 6th.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. Optimistic investors are moving stocks higher at this hour, extending last week's rally. The Dow is up 35 points. The Nasdaq has gained nearly 6. The economy outside the manufacturing sector grew last month at its fastest pace since 1997. That's according to the Institute for Supply Management, which issued a report showing growth in services. A joint U.S.-Canadian task force looking into last summer's massive blackout says electric power companies ignored voluntary industry standards before the outage. The panel calls for immediate government-enforced reliability regulations. At the moment, there's no federal authority to enforce the voluntary guidelines. First Data, the credit card transaction processor, says a computer glitch led to a doubling or tripling of Walmart charges. The overpayments have been reversed, but check your monthly credit card bills just in case. And who is Ingvar Kamprad? Well, he's the founder of IKEA and the world's richest man, according to a Swedish news magazine. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
For today's businesses, even something like choosing an accounting firm can put you at risk. Some are so big, they can't remember your name. Others, they're just too small. But at Grant Thornton, you'll get easy access to our partners and resources in 48 U.S. offices, providing accounting services with integrity since 1924. Get to know us at grantthornton.com. We've got a passion for the business of accounting.
Dog, I'm gonna gun you down.
With what?
With this here single action 44 caliber. It's got a muzzle velocity of 700 feet per second and increases kinetic energy of the projectile by 63%.
Can I see that?
Technology. It's how the West was really won. Watch Wild West Tech this Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, and you'll see how. Only on the History Channel.
The KNIC talk version of American Idol is Saturday nights at 8 p.m.
Miss Independent. Miss Keep Your Distance.
Oh, that's awful. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:30 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. A couple of things that before I get to your calls, and 303-382-1150, we're talking about what to be done about Officer Turney and whether or not we ought to be retailing those Governor Owens extramarital rumors. I want to congratulate Channel 7. I've cuffed them around sometimes. That Tony Kovaleski story that got Eugene Dilbeck fired, I thought, was a completely content-free story. But I have to say, they get high marks. They won a Peabody Award for Scandal at the Academy, their expose of the rape scandals, sexual assault scandals at the Air Force Academy. So congratulations to Channel 7, KMGH-TV. Also, sad news there, Pam Dahl has died. You may have seen Dusty's column today, and also it was reported in the Post. She was 40 years old. She'd been a paraplegic. She'd been in a wheelchair since a horse accident when she was, I think, about 16 years old, diagnosed with breast cancer, in 2002, I think. Very brave, very courageous. It's such a sad story, and so condolences to Channel 7 and to her family. 303-382-1150. One other thing, Steve Holt, our master of many things, who has just come in here to bring me this week's In the Onion. Do you ever read The Onion, which is satirical and very funny and a free newspaper, but very hip, very funny? Wonderful ad. You've got to see this ad. This is the Flush Rush ad. And then it says Enid Goldstein, noon to three, and there's a guy sort of on the john with his pants down around his ankles, and one of those. You can clip it, and it's actually really, it's really very well done. I mean, this is something you would put up on your wall. You might do it in order to throw darts at me, I don't know, but you can clip it and put it up, and it's great. So check out The Onion this whole week, and Justin is going to be talking to us. He's going to be out and about with the KNRC Mobile. That extravagantly painted odd device that we have that belches copious amounts of we don't know what exactly. He's going to be out and about with that, and I think that's going to be tomorrow, maybe in about the noon hour, giving away different promotional tchotchkes from the station and coming to us from some restroom somewhere, because this Flush Rush campaign, and it says Enid Goldstein from noon to three, is appearing in restrooms all over town. Bars, restaurants, and so on. So if you want one for your restroom, let us know, and maybe we can get one to you. How about that? We should, you know what, let's see if we can get one up at the press club in the restroom there. That would be fun, in both restrooms. All right, let's go to the phones and to Sean on a cell. Sean, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
How are you doing?
Doing well, Sean.
That's good. I just love how you liberals twist everything around. The Clinton affair scandal had nothing to do with the fact that he slept with a woman. It had the fact that he was sleeping with an intern. And you know that. It was
Sean, what's your point?
My point is that you're saying that it was just because he had sex. If it was a, if it was somebody that was owned a business, let's say, that slept with a
woman.
Wait.
I don't understand what you're talking about. When I'm saying it's just about sex, what are you talking about? What are you thinking that I said?
You said it was just something that was between him and his wife. She was okay.
No, now here's what I really said. If you had listened to the whole thing, and by the way, Sean, are you a first time caller?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just a minute. Your life will be transformed, and you will suddenly have a brain, which you badly need. All right, here's what I said. What I said was that in the case of Bill Clinton, he did not make his political reputation on family values, which is something that Governor Owens has done. So to be caught with his pants down, if a guy with a family values platform, to be caught, at least the allegations are that his pants are down and flapping around where they're not supposed to be flapping around, is a whole other thing from somebody that you know going into office. It's not a big surprise if he gets caught, because you knew that going in.
Okay, you didn't know that about Clinton.
Of course we knew that about Clinton. Jennifer, where were you? Didn't you hear the Jennifer Flowers allegation?
Yes, we heard all about the Jennifer Flowers
allegation. And what did you see the 60 Minutes interview when Hillary?
Ma'am.
No, you know what?
Ma'am.
You know what? Stop ma'aming me, Sean. That means that you don't even know who you're listening to. Do you know what my name is?
Enid.
Okay, then call me Enid. I'm not ma'am.
Your mother is
ma'am. I'm Enid.
No, my I was just raised to call people, and so I was given permission. I call people sir and ma'am all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is true.
So it was a real surprise to you that when Clinton took office after the Jennifer Flowers allegations, you didn't have a clue that he might be a philanderer?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's who he slept with. He slept with an intern. That was the whole problem right there.
So what's your point? Tell me what your
point is
and what this has to do with Owens and why we're talking about Clinton when we're really talking about Owens.
We're really talking about Clinton because you say it wasn't a big deal when he slept with an intern. Now, you cannot tell me that a person in power has the right to sleep with somebody that's under him. You cannot tell me that. That is what now is fought against.
Well, what if Governor Owens is doing the same thing? Supposing he's having an affair with somebody on his staff. Would that be okay as far as you're concerned?
No, as far as I'm concerned, it's not. And it's not okay that he's having an affair with anybody.
If he is,
yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So was that all that you wanted to tell me?
That's all I wanted to tell you. You know, it wasn't about the sex. It was about the fact that he was in power and he used his position of power to sleep with
somebody. Oh, darling, I don't know where you, under what rock you have been hiding, but I'm going to tell you what Henry Kissinger said. You're one of your favorite Republicans. He said that power is the ultimate aphrodisiac, and that when he became Secretary of State and he was at dinner parties and women found themselves bored in his company, they now assumed it was their fault. So women have always been attracted to power, and a lot of men are attracted to power too. So I don't think that's new news. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees now. Some people displaced by the Picnic Rock fire may be able to go home today. I'll have that story in a moment. Now let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
And on this traffic advisory, we can talk about a lot of nothing, because there isn't anything going on in the freeway system or on the surface streets. Very quiet lunch hour drive, probably because a lot of the Denver public schools are on spring break this week. That always tends to cut down the volume levels. Do have an emergency situation near 9th and Orchard in Pleasant View. That is a police investigation of a reported shooting. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice home, phone, and long distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance. Make Quest the choice for Colorado. Call 1-888-273-9221 or visit Quest.com. Restrictions apply. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Officials will decide later today whether to allow residents of about 20 homes near the Picnic Rock fire to go home. Some other residents were able to return home on Saturday. Firefighters have been able to contain about 50% of the fire, which is now estimated to have cost $1.5 million to fight. This report brought to you by your local RE/MAX office. DPD investigators are expected to turn over to the district attorney the case involving the recent attempted sexual assaults near the DU campus. Police arrested a 40-year-old suspect on Thursday afternoon, and investigators think the suspect is connected to two incidents based on the time, location, and description provided by the two independent victims. Pam Dale, a meteorologist with 7 News since 1993, has lost her battle with breast cancer. Dale passed away yesterday after her second round of battling the disease. Dale is survived by her husband, her son, and her daughter. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, REMAX. There's a REMAX real estate office near you, so call them today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters, but just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching. The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
I'm Mike Stenneford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. There will be a chance for shower or thunderstorm. The bulk of the rain stays off to our west. Our highs low to mid-60s. Thunderstorms this evening, then some showers overnight, low near 40. And a few showers stay in the forecast Tuesday, highs mid-60s. Chance of showers Wednesday, cooler, highs only in the mid-50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenneford on AM 1150, KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 61 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Evelinda Irvin.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Sure, Denver has its share of talk stations, but we talk about what's important.
I would advise you to increase your knowledge.
Hear both sides on Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150, KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150, KNRC.
12:43 on the Monday edition of Eat It Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I like that Spanish music. I feel like I should do some flamenco. Well, it started out to be Spanish music. I don't know where it went. Ricky Martin, oh, yeah. 303, a man of indeterminate sexuality. 303. 382-1150. All right, we're talking about, speaking of sexuality, we're talking about a couple of things. We're talking about Officer Turney, and we're talking about whether or not these rumors about Owen's extramarital adventures ought to be retailed, if you think it's unfair of me to do that. There are an awful lot of them, at least, but we are careful to label them rumors. One other thing, when I said that Channel 7 won the Peabody Award, for those of you who don't know, it is the most prestigious award in television, or in broadcasting. So that is a very big deal. It's kind of like a Pulitzer and then some. 303-382-1150, Steve calling from Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
I think what you're doing with Governor Owens is really rotten, using rumors and gossip when you actually have no evidence. And you actually, you have a news center there, a news a department in, at your radio station. If there's something to it, why don't you go investigate it?
Well, I know that a lot of publications, we're very new, and we're not really set up to do those kinds of stories yet. But I know that a lot of the majors are trying to get at the story and looking at it and hiding in the bushes. And but there's no denying that there are tons of rumors out there. And I think it's a fair, I think it's fair to report that that's the case. When somebody who's a family values guy separates after almost 30 years of marriage, never announces that nobody else was involved, you're going to have a lot of rumors, and he's never addressed them. He's never, curiously, never made the announcement that nobody else is involved. And so it opens the door to tons of rumors and that everybody in the world has heard, except anybody who's connected has heard them, except for the vast majority of the citizens who, if they're not connected, have not heard them. And I think it's fair game. And I, and so did Michael Tracy, who's the media critic for The Rocky. He says, you know, guy's made his reputation on family values. It's a fair question to ask. Has any adultery been involved in your... separation? And nobody, as far as I know, has asked that question of him publicly. And to what extent is his marital situation the reason that he did not run for Senate?
Well, I think you might be right.
And nobody asked him. Nobody said, look, you know, there are a lot of rumors out there, Governor. You want to set the record straight.
It's not his responsibility to set a record straight. If you
it's not? It's not his responsibility? You don't think he...
I think it's your job to report it if you have something. You don't have anything with Governor Romer.
Steve, let me ask you a question. Well, Romer denied it for all those years. Westward had the goods on him, and they never had the picture. And then it took about 7 or 8 years, and they took a lot of heat for it.
But they actually reported it as a news story. And they did, you're right, they did set on it, and a whole bunch
No. They talked about, I think, my understanding was that they talked about the rumors way before, years before they ever had the confirmation picture. But they had it from a good source, and they took a lot of heat for it, and then some years later, the picture of Romer in the lip lock with the beloved finally emerged, and then Westward was vindicated.
Well, you're wrong there. They reported it as a news story. Now, if they do that...
No, I'm not wrong. I had it from Michael Roberts directly. He said that, that Westward ran with it earlier, and then they took a lot of heat,
and then
there were confirming pictures, but not until several years later.
Right, but they did report it as a news story. It was a news story. It wasn't just
a news story, meaning
rumors.
Meaning what? A news story that there was confirmation? I don't think they had confirmation.
Though they reported it as a news story, I don't.
Darling, I don't believe you're right about that. They could have reported it any old way, but without confirmation, they took a lot of heat. They got it from a good source. But how are you going to confirm that story? If you catch them in flagrante? Is that how you confirm that story?
With Romer, it was well known among the news people.
Oh, well known, just like it is well known among the news people about Owens.
So you're saying that it is well known now?
Yeah.
You're going to put yourself on the line saying that this stuff is true.
That's not what I said. I said the rumors...
Well, why don't you do that? I mean, are you a coward or something in this? I don't understand. Reporting rumors and gossip unsubstantiated by anybody is just plain
wrong. No. You just told me... Steve, get your story straight and try to debate honestly if you can muster it. You just said it was well known among news people about Romer. Apparently it was. It was way before my time here in Denver.
Right.
And eventually they did have substantiation. My understanding is that Westward made allegations and took a lot of heat for it and didn't have the confirming pictures until some years later. That was my understanding. Now, I'm saying to you exactly the same thing you said to me about Romer, which is these rumors are well known to reporters covering the governor. And I think it is a fair question to ask him. And when you said, oh, well, he doesn't have to answer. If somebody said, you, Steve from Louisville, are a thief, and a philanderer and a liar, would you just let those allegations go unchallenged if they weren't true, or would you be inclined to want to address those?
Oh, if it was in a situation like he's in, he has no—you have no hope of disproving a negative. I mean, no matter what he says, you're not.
If somebody—I asked you a question. Answer honestly if you can do it. If somebody said a lot of unfair wrong, that you were an adulterer, that you were cheating on your wife, that you were a liar, that you were, on top of it, crooked, would you let those go unchallenged, or would you address them?
Depends on who it was that did it.
Supposing the whole press corps, supposing the whole press corps were saying these things about you.
The whole press corps isn't saying anything about Owens.
How would you know that?
Well, I haven't seen anything. I read all the papers.
Well, that is precisely, Steve, that's precisely my point. They should be asking the question, and do you think it's not newsworthy when you're doing a whole profile of the governor and his whole tenure in office, not to mention that he and his wife are separated? Is that not a salient detail with a lot of political implications?
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's not.
I mean, if you have something, say it. If you don't, then I think you shouldn't go with this.
But you're still not being honest. You are not answering me honestly. You know very well that if someone were sliming you, Steve, and it was unfair, you'd be right out there standing four square to answer those allegations. 303-382-1150. John, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, John.
Listen, I can barely hear you, so I'm going to be real blunt with you, Enid. I'm on your side. I think Bush is a contemptible human being. I think it's an outrage what they did to President Clinton for his sexual encounters that he got caught in. He should have never had to testify about that crap. What he did what he does in his sex life is his own business. And I think you are way off base. I think the same goes for Governor Owens.
Yeah, but the difference, but
Richard Simmons, it's none of my business.
But the difference is that was Clinton. John. Here's what I think is important about it. The difference between the two of them is that Clinton was never any family values candidate, and Owens has made that his the cornerstone of his career. Which then, if any of these rumors are true, turns him into a hypocrite. And the second issue is a protective press corps that isn't telling you what's out there. I think you have a right to know what is out there and what the allegations are, and whether they turn out to be true or they turn out not to be true. But to protect him to the extent that nobody will even ask him the question as to what his marital situation actually is, what the details are, were other people involved when you've run as a family candidate, family values kind of a guy, I think then reporters are not doing their job, and that the power structure is pandering to them, to him, and you aren't getting the full story. That's what I think. 303-382-1150, and to what extent his marital situation has affected his decision not to run for Senate. Apparently a decision so emotional that his press secretary thought he might break down and cry in the middle of that particular press conference, which is what one reason I heard why they cut it. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Find out what happened while you were at work.
Who are you?
Tim McLaughlin. With news updates twice an hour during the Doug Kellett Show. Afternoons exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Now, use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
The house needs painting, the kids need braces, and your car just died. Looks like you need a loan. But will you get it? It all depends on what lenders see in your credit report, which is why you should check out freecreditreport.com. Log on, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report and whether everything's accurate. Don't delay. See your credit report instantly. Make sure your credit's ready when you need it with freecreditreport.com.
Have you always wanted to make a difference? Do you want to touch lives in communities all across the country? You will make a difference in AmeriCorps National Civilian Community Corps. NCCC is a 10-month national service program for 18 to 24-year-olds. NCCC members work on projects from tutoring kids to rebuilding trails to disaster relief. Along with a life-changing experience, members receive room and board, money for college, and the chance to travel. For information, call 1-800-942-2677 or visit AmeriCorps.org/NCCC. AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about whether or not I should be sharing the news that I hear all around and that reporters are hearing that you're not reading in your newspaper. And I think it's fair game when you have a governor who has made his whole career on family values and he separates from his wife, which is sort of a shock after almost 30 years of marriage. And there are all these rumors that swirl around and never an announcement that says nobody else was involved. I think that it's a fair question to ask, and I think it's fair to retail the rumors, also clearly labeling that they are simply rumors. But I think that when you have made your whole career on family values and suddenly your own family's in trouble, I think these are fair questions to ask. 303-382-1150, do you agree? Do you not agree? Some of you have strongly taken exception, but I think that press in this town have gone out of their way to really protect the governor, and I'm sort of dismayed by it, to tell you the truth. Barbara, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call. It just occurred to me, wasn't Governor Owens when he began his reign, who was wanting to sponsor statewide counseling for people who filed for divorce, as if the state has the right to get into your business? And now we don't have the right to know about what's going on with him.
Oh, I didn't know that because, you know, I haven't been here as long as he's been governor. But
I believe it was when the king started his reign of terror.
Would that be R-A-I-N of terror?
You know,
like an acid rain?
Well, you think of the F word and what it may have represented under the king's consent. Are you familiar with the derivation of the F word?
I've seen various, I think we probably better not go there, but I've seen various dictionary attributions and so on. But I wasn't aware that he,
as far as I know,
was in favor of mandatory counseling if your marriage is falling apart. So is he having counseling? Do we know?
Well, that's not really the point, but if he wanted the state to get into our personal business, and yet he's unwilling to divulge his personal business, then I think that that is truly hypocritical, and we need to know that about him.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think it's rather like the administration, isn't it, where they want all your privacy information. There's nothing that's private. They want to have a database. They want to be able to scrutinize your eyeballs and your fingerprints and everything else. But if they collect even as something as innocuous as tire data information, consumer information, they don't want to share it with you.
Right.
Thanks, Barbara. Well, I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Ann, calling from Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How are you?
Good, Ann.
I have to agree with some of the callers that I really think you're turning into a tabloid radio program when you really promote rumors. I don't think that being a governor necessarily means that you have to expose every part of your life. I don't think that's what I think is important is how he governs.
Are you? Did you vote for him?
Yeah, I did.
Well, so then you're a supporter of his. But is it true that he wanted anybody who's breaking up to have counseling and the state get involved with that?
Well, did he get counseling?
I don't know if he did. He hasn't.
That's the point.
I don't know if he's gotten counseling or not. He's made no announcements, and this is Mr. Family Values.
That's the point.
And there are and the rumors, Ann, are thick and fast. There are illegitimate children, one, two, several.
Elvis is alive. I mean, I don't think that you have been.
Is it a fair question to ask him? Is it a fair question to ask him whether anybody was involved and any adultery was involved?
No.
You don't think that's fair?
No.
We disagree on that. 303-382-1150. Ron, quickly, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Ina. We just have about 2 seconds. Can you say it?
Yellow.
Hi, Ron. We just have a couple seconds.
No, I wanted to talk about the police, the shooting.
Should Turney be fired, yes or no?
Yes.
Good. You and I agree, and I thank you for calling. 303-382-1150. Sorry to be so short, but we just have a couple seconds left in this hour. Good news is there are two more hours coming up of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You can be heard. 303-382-1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. The U.S. says an Iraqi judge has issued a murder warrant for a Muslim cleric whose forces have been battling coalition troops. He's accused of killing a fellow cleric. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett says U.S. troops are tightening the squeeze on the Iraqi city of Fallujah, which has been a base for attacks on Americans.
The coalition is accelerating its offensive operations to kill or capture anti-coalition elements and enemies of the Iraqi people.
The sound of explosions and gunfire has been echoing across Fallujah today. President Bush says the U.S. will hand over power to the Iraqis by June 30th as promised. Critics say Iraq is too fragmented for that, but Mr. Bush says America will keep its pledge to the Iraqi people. British Airways has decided to spruce up the uniforms of its crews and has hired a leading fashion designer to do it. Julian McDonald, who usually designs clothes for celebrities, has come up with a retro look, including a pillbox hat for female flight attendants. British Airways says this may start an in-flight fashion trend. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
Hey, law dog, I'm gonna gun you down.
With what?
With this here single-action .44 caliber. It's got a muzzle velocity of 700 feet per second and increases kinetic energy of the projectile by 63%.
Can I just see that?
Technology. It's how the West was really won. Watch Wild West Tech this Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, and you'll see how. Only on the History Channel.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The Picnic Rock fire may be fully contained by Wednesday. I'll have that story in a moment. Now let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
38th and Federal, Northwest Denver, just getting a report of an accident. Denver police also cleaning up one southbound Peoria at Interstate 70. Everything else around town moving along in pretty good shape. Maybe a little lighter than usual volume because the Denver public schools are on spring break this week. April is car care month. Mr. Goodwrench reminds you of the importance of keeping your GM vehicle in top condition. Visit GMGoodwrench.com to find a dealer near you. Mr. Goodwrench, the one, the only GM expert. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, there's not much precipitation, but lower temperatures and higher humidity prevail in the vicinity of the Picnic Rock fire. That, says Christy Lee of the Larimer County Sheriff's Office, is good news.
Oh, it's helping quite a bit. The fire is 50% contained today, and there is an estimated containment of Wednesday for 100% containment. So the weather's helped a lot.
The fire resulted from a backyard trash fire that got out of control last Tuesday. It has burned an estimated 9,100 acres now. Some 23 structures are threatened, and late this afternoon a decision is expected as to whether their dwellers can return. This report brought to you by Quest. The Denver District Attorney's Office is expected to get the case regarding the recent attempted sexual assaults near the DU campus today. DPD investigators are putting the facts together together regarding the 40-year-old suspect who was arrested last Thursday. Investigators say that, based on the time, location, and description of the two independent victims, they think the suspect is connected to the two attempted sexual assaults near the University of Denver on March 25th. If you shopped at Walmart last Wednesday, check your bill. Englewood's First Data Corporation says that a computer glitch caused double or triple charging for hundreds of thousands of customers who used their Visa or MasterCard at Walmart stores last Wednesday. The company says the problem, which affected about 800,000 customers, has been fixed. The extra charges have been reversed. First Data suggests checking your credit card bill to make sure that those charges were, in fact, reversed. Jeffco Sheriff's deputies are still investigating the shooting death of a woman at a mobile home park near Golden yesterday. The woman, in her mid-30s, was found suffering from a gunshot wound, but died before she could be transported to the hospital. In sports, the Colorado Rockies open their regular season tomorrow in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks. Rocks play a three-game set there before heading to L.A. later in the week. The home opener for the Rocks, set for a week from today, also against the D-backs. A 2-1 loss to the Nashville Predators finished out the regular season for the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. Avs failed to capture a division title for the first time in 10 years. The Avs open the playoffs at home against the Dallas Stars on Wednesday. Only five games remain for the Denver Nuggets. They're off until Wednesday when they head to Phoenix to play the Suns. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice Home Phone and Long Distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance make Quest the choice for Colorado. 888-273-9221 or Quest.com. Restrictions apply. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
The name and business is CNBC, and we've got it for you. Listen for hourly updates weekdays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ah, nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Is your patio furniture up to the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's three beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture from O.W. Lee. For three generations, the Lee family has been handcrafting fine wrought iron furniture that is not only beautiful, but built to last a lifetime. Hand-forged by skilled craftsmen with incredible attention to detail and design, O.W. Lee is quite simply the finest wrought iron furniture on the market today. Family owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in wrought iron furniture. Plus, we have the best selection of quality gas barbecue grills in the state. At Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton, there's a Lair's near you. For premium wrought iron furniture from O.W. Lee, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio.
I'm Mike Stenniford with the KNRC forecast on the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. There will be a risk of a shower or a thunderstorm, mainly over the western suburbs. Our highs low to mid-60s. Now, we'll see some thunderstorms across the entire area this evening, then a few showers overnight. Our lows near 40. A few showers stay in the forecast for Tuesday and Wednesday. High Tuesday, mid-60s. Cooler on Wednesday with highs only in the mid-50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
61 degrees under partly cloudy skies now. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about whether or not Jim Turney ought to be fired for the shooting of Paul Childs, among other shootings. He's apparently has a major in shootings. And I say yes. And I think we ought to really hold the city's feet to the fire. So what if it's another lawsuit? What difference does it make? But I think the city's got to send a message to the community. And how many dollars do you put on that message that they're doing the right thing in terms of their cops? And I think the cops have to be put on notice. I'm sorry that there are all these reviews and they don't ever find anything wrong and it never goes to a grand jury and there's never a penalty and you get suspended for a minute and a half. You think if you shot somebody dead, you'd be suspended for 20 days and that would be the end of it? 303-382-1150. We've also been talking about the Governor Owens marital rumors that keep heating up. we keep hearing more and more of them. We don't know if they're true, if they're not, but this was a family values guy. I think it's a fair question to ask to what extent his marital situation has collided with his dream to be senator, and he's had to drop out of running for senator when everybody knew that that's really what he has always wanted to do. Maybe he's got some better gig lined up. I don't know. But suddenly his family has become paramount, which is interesting because politicians only invoke family when they can't think of any other reason. If his family had been so important, where has he been? Where have they been all this time? And why did his marriage begin to crumble? And then we hear rumors that there are illegitimate children, one, several, abortion. You know, there are all these rumors. Girlfriend, present girlfriend, old girlfriend, many girlfriends that the wife wants to reconcile, that he doesn't want it because the Rubicon has been crossed, that she caught him in flagrante. You know, a lot of rumors. And many of them are probably just that, just a lot of blather swirling around. But interestingly enough, he's chosen not to. In the initial announcement, he never said nobody else was involved. A family values guy. I think it's a fair question to ask about adultery because there's so many rumors. And it gives him a chance to clear the air. And then maybe we can move on. But nobody asked the question. And so you have a press corps that has been intimidated or made to feel timid or feels that if it asks a tough question, it will be shut out. So you have a governor effectively manipulating the press corps in this town in a way that is increasingly more obvious and increasingly more troubling. You can comment whether you think I should be retailing these rumors or not. I'm careful to label them rumors. That's what they are. 303-382-1150. Also, there's a lot going on, of course, in Washington, and Condoleezza Rice is going to be testifying on April the 8th, and boy, a lot is riding on her shoulders. The New York Times and others are reporting that President Bush's reputation is resting on Condoleezza Rice's shoulders, and the commission says they're going to ask her tough questions. Well, I think she'll be fine. I think she'll probably do fine. That would be my guess. So if they're going to try and scare her with, we're going to ask you tough questions, she'll be prepared, and I'd be surprised if they catch her, but I hope they do. I'm trying to soft pedal it for myself in case they don't. Tabloids reporting. Now, this is interesting. Bin Laden has a niece, and there were a lot of Bin Laden relatives living in New York. And the niece was making an album. She wants to be a singer. She's a wannabe pop star. And she abruptly departed New York in the middle of doing this album several days before 9/11, according to the tabs. She took off a couple of, she was telling friends to get out of New York for a while. And here she was in the middle of recording an album, and she just left. It was unfinished. It was right before 9/11. She left her loft, which she pays $6,000 a month maintenance for, maintenance on a loft. And so the 9/11 Commission also noting that many other Saudis mysteriously left the U.S. in the days leading up to the attacks, many leaving behind everything they owned. Others left immediately afterward. Somebody named April Gallup was working at the Pentagon on 9/11. Now she's a member of 9/11, Citizens Watch, a group monitoring and questioning the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks, and she has questions. She's following 9/11 when all aircraft travel on airplanes had been grounded. There were Saudi families that were quickly flown out of the country. From my understanding, the FBI was only able to question them for a very short amount of time. So I need to know why our government would let that happen. Some hurriedly left the country before the attacks. One of these was this niece of Osama bin Laden's who wants to be a pop star in New York. She was not only owns a place in New York, but a place in Switzerland and a flat in London and so on. So these are questions that have yet to be answered. 303-382-1150. Also, the White House is coming under tremendous fire because the documents that the Clintons, that the archives sent over about the Clinton administration and how it handled terrorism, three quarters of these documents the White House has embargoed and has not allowed the commission to see. They're saying, oh, it's duplication, it's this, it's that. And now they're relenting. The White House has agreed to allow the independent commission investigating the 9/11 attacks to review thousands of Clinton administration national security documents that the White House acknowledged this week it had withheld from the panel. And it never acknowledged that it was doing that until one of Clinton's former aides screamed about it. Remember, everybody on the 9/11 commission has the highest degree of security clearance, so that can't be the issue. But again, everything this White House wants to do, it wants to shroud in secrecy. And here is what the New York Times is saying. And I think this is interesting. The Bush administration's handling of the bipartisan commission investigating 9/11 grows worse and more oddly self-destructive with each passing day. Following its earlier attempts to withhold documents from the panel and then to deny its members vital testimony, we now learn that President Bush's staff has been withholding thousands of pages, three-quarters, actually, of the documents sent over by the National Archives that are Clinton administration papers. Bill Clinton authorized the release of nearly 11,000 pages of files on his administration's anti-terrorism efforts for use by the commission. But aides to Mr. Clinton said the White House, which now has control of the papers, vetoed the transfer of over three-quarters of them. The White House held the documents for more than 6 weeks, apparently without notifying the commission, and might have kept them indefinitely if Bruce Lindsay, who'd been an attorney and an aide, general counsel of Mr. Clinton's presidential foundation, had not publicly complained this week. Yesterday, the commission said the White House had agreed to allow its lawyers to review the withheld documents, but without guaranteeing any would be released. The White House's pattern of resisting the commission in private, and then, once the dispute becomes public, reluctantly giving up just the minimum amount of ground. Earlier in last week, Bush finally agreed to allow Condoleezza Rice to testify. So what do you think about the White House? It doesn't... It disputes, you know, it won't let you in on anything unless people make a huge fuss, and then it gives you the minimum. Why do you think, and those of you who are strong Bush supporters, Owens supporters, why do you think the White House doesn't want to make available the Clinton-era files? Why didn't they want Condoleezza Rice to testify? Don't you think that this paints a picture of the White House not wanting you to know anything? What does that mean? Why would they want to hold their information so close to the vest? What would that be about? What is it that they're trying to hide? Doesn't it give the impression that they're trying to hide something? 303-382-1150. Washington poll. Washington Post poll. The Washington Post poll found the following. Do you have a favorable or unfavorable impression of George W. Bush? Favorable, 48%. Unfavorable, 45%. No opinion, which is pretty remarkable, 7%. And there's a plus or minus of 3 percentage points. So roughly 48% favorable to 45% unfavorable means that he's in a dead heat with himself. And whether or not Bush is seen as a compassionate conservative, Bush has frequently described himself as a compassionate conservative. Do you think Bush has or has not governed in a way that is compassionate? Has. 49% say yes, as opposed to 64% that said yes at the beginning of February. So it's gone down. 64 thought he governed compassionately, and now only 49% think that he has governed compassionately. 45% that say that he has not governed compassionately. And so that's pretty much a dead heat. As president, would you say Bush has been more compassionate than you expected him to be, or less compassionate, or about what you expected? 13% say he's more compassionate, 25% say he's less compassionate, and 58% believe that he's about what they expected. So he's flunking as a compassionate conservative. Fewer people say that Bush is serving the middle class. As he approaches the November election, he has shed a good part of the compassionate conservative image that he cultivated during the 2000 election and that information I just shared with you. But a lot of people feel that he is not serving the middle class. So finally people are beginning to realize what's going on. Another point of secrecy in the administration. Hundreds of thousands of infants and toddlers who get flu shots starting this fall could be exposed to a mercury-laced preservative. Tamiflu, this is the one that a lot of parents feel has something to do with the rise in autism that we are seeing. And that Tamiflu was in so many shots that nobody knew what the cumulative effect was. Well, it's not in a lot of shots anymore, but it is being added as a preservative to the flu shots, and it's going to go to kids. And the administration does not want you to know that this mercury-based preservative is going into the flu shots because they're afraid that everybody will want the flu shot that doesn't have it and that there isn't enough of it to go around. So once again, another way in which you are being kept in the dark, and in a democracy, one of the great shining virtues of democracy is a kind of transparency where we're not having secret proceedings, where it's open, where we know what's going on. And here's just another example where they don't want you to know, as a parent, that these flu shots are laced with mercury. It might not be great for your kids. You make that decision, though. And you should be able to make that decision. But they don't want to give you the information so that you can make that decision. 303-382-1150. Bill, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, Bill.
Hey, a couple things. First of all...
Are you a first-time caller?
Yeah.
Oh, well, here.
What is that? Like, what was that?
You don't know what that was?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm going to do it one more time and see if you can figure it out. And also, please turn off your radio, will you?
My radio's off.
Okay, because I'm getting some feedback here.
Well, it's not from my radio.
It isn't? You got all, everything is off?
Everything's off.
Okay, we're going to hit it again. See if you can tell. You know what that is, Bill?
No, it sounds like a kiss.
Well, that's what it was.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so, you know, when you read these polls about George W. Bush and favorable and unfavorable, it strikes me as really misleading because the fact of the matter is that George Bush is a very has a very limited impact on what's happening. In fact, the guy's a little more than a mental cretin. And for us to be considering that he has an impact in terms of whether we like him or don't like him, it's really somewhat misleading. Really,
you don't think he has an impact as the president, even though we call him Dickie around here, and kind of a dumb Dickie on top of it.
No, he's a very stupid man. There's no way.
But what about the people who run the country and they've made decisions that impact our lives?
That's different. The people run the country, but he doesn't run the country. The president hasn't really run the country for a long time.
Look, I think that Cheney is your real president, but it doesn't matter whether Dickey is in charge or Cheney is in charge. The decisions coming out of this administration, some of them are pretty horrific, and so it does matter.
It is horrific, but it's the administration. It's not George Bush. George Bush is a little more than a puppet and a figurehead.
Well, I think when
we give him too much credence.
Bill, when they're asking that question, is George Bush a compassionate conservative, I think that the implication is, as far as we know, in other words, as the logo, as the hood ornament for the administration, I think people know that there's the administration.
Yeah, we should be saying, is this a compassionate administration? And that means a lot more. Because what George Bush is, he's a little more than a lightning rod to distract people's attention away from the people who are really making the decisions, the multinational corporations, oil companies, and that kind of thing, pharmaceutical companies. Speaking of the flu shot, nobody should ever get the flu shot, ever. The flu shot doesn't do is nothing more than a little symbol or a puppet to divert you from really good health.
Wait a minute. Where do you get your information? All experts say that if you're over a certain age or if you have respiratory diseases, you particularly should get a flu shot.
They're idiots. Let me tell you why. The flu shot, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, anticipates which flu virus.
And they might not be right, which they
They're
weren't this one.
They're never right. No, might not be right. They're never right. So you're getting
they've never, ever once been right. Not ever.
There's no way to be right. There's dozens of different flu vaccines. There's dozens of different.
Just a minute. Are you? What's your background? Are you a physician? Are you a scientist?
I'm in the medical profession.
And what do you do in the medical profession?
Well, I don't want to talk about that, but I'm in the medical profession.
Yeah, well, you answer the phone and book appointments. I mean, what's your background?
You can do the research. I'll direct your attention towards the research. They're never right. There's no way to be right because there's dozens, if not hundreds, of different.
You know, products. Even a stopped clock is right twice a day, so you can't say they have never been right. They have probably been right sometimes, and they have probably been wrong a lot of times.
You're a wonderful researcher. Look into it. Okay?
No, you're the one who purports to be Mr. Medical Knowledge.
I didn't purport to anything.
I asked what your background was, and you're in the medical field. But, you know, for all I know, you sell pharmaceuticals. So I don't know what you're doing.
I could sell pharmaceuticals.
But I'll tell you what is the tip-off, Bill. The tip-off is when you say they are never right.
They've never been right.
You're not right about that.
Okay, well, look into that.
No, you look into it. You should know what you're talking about. And how did you find us, by the way? Have you been listening for very long?
No.
How did you happen to find us?
Just dumb luck.
Who put you up to calling us?
Well, I wanted to talk about Condoleezza Rice.
Who put you up to calling? I think the Republicans have got the call out there.
No, let me talk about Condoleezza Rice real quick.
Yeah.
Do you think it could be like a bait and switch kind of, or not a bait and switch, but where they sort of tease you into thinking that she wasn't going to testify, and then they're like, okay, we'll let her testify, knowing good and well that she's an awesome, that she's going to present awesome testimony because she's a brilliant.
Wait a minute. So they were pretending that she wasn't going to testify to get you all juiced up so that she would testify? Is that what you?
Yeah.
No, Bill. I don't think that's possible. I thank you for the call. Oh, my goodness gracious. 303-382-1150. 303. Andy calling from Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. Welcome.
Hi, this is Andy. Yeah, first-time caller.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I saw Penny write you up.
There you go.
In the newspaper, and what your words made me laugh, so I've been listening to your show anyway.
Thank you. Is that that's how you found us, is through Penny Parker's call?
Yeah.
That's great. See?
Yeah, I like to think about creationism. Anyway, I'm the father of a child with autism. It was very well known in the disability community, but not throughout the general population, that the Bush administration inserted a rider into the Homeland Security Act to protect Eli Lilly from lawsuits from parents of children.
We have talked about that, and I sort of forgot about, yes, until you mentioned it, I sort of have forgotten about it. But yes, there is a special protection in there for Eli Lilly and the Tamarisol lawsuits.
The Marisol, yeah, I believe the Democrats got that thrown out, though. Maybe you know.
I don't know.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty low down myself, you know, because there are a lot of kids that need help and more. And the Marisol thing doesn't seem to be proven conclusively, but just the same.
But just the same, it's a lot of mercury, and it's to a very small developing child. And even now they're saying if kids watch too much television, it can alter the development of their brain. So if TV can do that, what does mercury do?
It happened to me.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Andy.
And one other thing I wanted to say quickly.
Uh-huh.
Liberals don't have to focus on the sex lives of the Republicans. It's better to stick to the issues. This is what they did with Clinton. We don't need to go there. I mean, Bill Owens might be a whore, but that's one of the best things he is, not one of the worst. I mean, he's a bad guy. And to talk about his sex life kind of brings us down to their level, don't you think?
No, I don't. I really think it's relevant, and especially if you're a family values guy, and I think it's part of the picture of who somebody is.
Yeah.
It's not the only thing, and I wouldn't impeach him over it the way the Republicans try to do with Bill Clinton. And look at to what effect, too, by taking his attention off terrorism. And when he tried to go after Osama bin Laden, they were saying, wag the dog. Nobody said that about the Bush administration, which really is about wag the dog.
Just to say the nothing of putting the country through 2 years of Jerry Springer show, you know, that was terrible.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Ben calling from Elgin, Illinois, from the RightRoseSociety.org. Hi, Ben.
Hey there, Enid. You know, that caller before last, you were saying, you know, did the Republicans put you up to calling? You know, to my knowledge, my certain knowledge, there are, in fact, right-wing think tanks that hire people to call liberal radio talk shows and repeat the talking points.
Really?
Really.
I don't know. We might have been bombed by some of those people.
If you listen to shows around the country, as I do, you hear the same voices. Tom Hartman says that, to his knowledge, the Heritage Foundation, in fact, does do this, and perhaps some of the others. They're one step removed from the Republican Party, so you can't make any allegations that they're actually GOP official shills.
How much do they pay people to call in to liberal talk shows?
I haven't a clue.
And how do you know that that's actually happening, or are you just theorizing, speculating?
Some people have admitted to having done that in private, off the record, to Tom Hartman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we're getting a lot of these first, which is great. We're getting a lot of first-time callers, and a lot of them are really seem to me to be unusually Republican today, which is great. We welcome them, but I'm curious to know who's put them up to it. I kind of got a hit about it.
Yeah, if you look at the talking points that are sent out every day by the Republican establishment, and then you listen to these callers, you will hear them hitting at least one of the major talking points.
What are the talking points of today? What are they talking about today? Do you know?
The point that I've heard already. I was listening to some conservative radio earlier in the day, and somebody mentioned that. You know, that obviously the thing with Condoleezza Rice was, to first deny she was going to do it so that it would be really exciting when she did it.
Oh, well, that's what our last caller was saying. I thought, where did he get this dopey idea?
Well, it's in the talking points. These people get a fax every morning.
They do.
Yes.
Well, see, that's I wonder if a lot of listeners know that.
I don't think so. The degree to which the Republican disinformation machine manipulates the media, I think there's going to be just an amazing book written about this after these guys are out of office, because it's Goebbels would have been proud.
And we don't mean George either.
No.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate the call.
Take care.
You're welcome. Thanks. You too. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. Oh, I want to congratulate John Dunning, Denver's own. We had him on. His new book, The Bookman's Promise, debuts at number 13 on the New York Times bestseller list. Congratulations to you, John Dunning. That's great. And I think he's going to have a signing at the Denver Book Mall, I don't know, maybe around the 25th or so. Call them. I don't know what the date is. I'm just doing this from memory. But that's a big, big deal. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Across Denver and the Front Range, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Imagine calling the UK for 6 cents a minute or Mexico for 9 cents a minute, all from your wireless phone. Introducing enhanced discounted international dialing only from AT&T Wireless. Sign up now for $3.99 a month on qualified plans and you can call to over 30 countries at the lowest rates of any national wireless carrier. Just call 1-866-REACH-OUT or visit attwireless.com today.
Reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless.
Countries and rates may change. Airtime and roaming charges and mobile surcharge may apply in addition to international calling rate. Geographic limitations, special credit and billing requirements, device compatibility and other restrictions apply.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
I'm Stephanie Shelton, CNBC Business Radio. The markets are higher in the final hour of trading. The Dow is up 60 points, the Nasdaq up 11 points. The market shrugged off some really good economic news. The Institute for Supply Management says the U.S. service sector hit a record high last month. And that huge blackout last year, the one that put about 50 million of us in the dark, well, the final report recommends mandatory standards for utilities and says, again, FirstEnergy could have prevented the cascading outage by trimming trees and updating its systems. More CEO pay packages made public. EchoStar's Charles Egan got Charles Ergen got $5 million last year, and that's a big increase from 2002. Most of the package was in options. EchoStar's shares were up 52% last year. And if you're wondering why your low-carb diet isn't working, a new study finds only a quarter of you are really cutting carbs. Most of you are actually eating about five times the amount of carbs the diets allow. Stephanie Shelton, CNBC Business Radio.
For today's businesses, even something like choosing an accounting firm can put you at risk. Some are so big, they can't remember your name. Others, they're just too small. But at Grant Thornton, you'll get easy access to our partners and resources in 48 U.S. offices, providing accounting services with integrity since 1924. Get to know us at grantthornton.com. We've got a passion for the business of accounting.
I'm gonna gun you down.
With what?
With this here single action 44 caliber. It's got a muzzle velocity of 700 feet per second and increases kinetic energy of the projectile by 63%.
Can I just see that?
Technology. It's how the West was really won. Watch Wild West Tech this Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, and you'll see how. Only on the History Channel.
Recently, Jimmy Lakey was spotted in the People's Republic of Boulder. Where will he be next? Where will we send Enid? How about Doug? The one Denver radio station that doesn't stay in the studio for the newsmakers to come to them. We go where the newsmakers are. AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:34 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I just got this email from, well, I can't make out the name exactly because it's just an email, but this is an excerpt from the House of Bush, House of Saud by Craig Unger, and he's going to be joining us next Monday as our guest. But it turns out that George W. Bush took the longest presidential vacation in 32 years around 9/11. 1 month long. No president had taken a vacation that long in 32 years. Just so that you know. I don't know what to make of that exactly, but you might find a link there. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. One of the things that John Kerry is being accused of is of being a flip-flopper. It turns out that the president is flip-flopping himself madly, whether it's between we won't release the documents that the Clinton White House gave us, yes, we will. We're not going to let Condoleezza Rice testify, yes, we will. We're not going to do this, but now we're going to do it. And he's done this on a million different things. Did you see the front page of the Denver Post on Sunday Post? Listen to this headline. I think it tells you everything you need to know. Bruce Finley did it. He's the international affairs writer for the Post. Jets cargo, a threat to security. Passenger planes still are at risk as efforts to fight terror lack funds and technology. In other words, there's no money for screening the cargo. If you're in a passenger plane, they screen the carry-on luggage, and they screen the luggage that you check as well to be sure there isn't any dangerous materials in there. But are you aware that shipping companies ship all kinds of commercial cargo on your flight, on your passenger flight, that is not looked at, period? Nobody screens this stuff. It could be anything could be in it. They do not open it. Does this make you a little nervous? And there seems to be no money to do this. And also, if you see this week's Newsweek magazine, what you might want to be cognizant of, they're talking about the stealth taxes and the tax cuts. If you are a salaried person, the tax cuts really haven't affected you very much. But if you're somebody who has huge investments, you pay very little or nothing on those investments the way the administration has structured the tax schedule and the tax cuts. So that if you make your money as a salaried person, which most of us, if we're lucky enough to have jobs, do, then that's where they get you on the taxes. But if you're somebody who has a lot of investment income from stocks and bonds and all that other stuff, they're not taxing you on that stuff. So it really supports the richest people, and everybody else is carrying the burden for the richest Americans. Don't you think this is interesting? Were you even aware of it? Another stealth plan that the administration has put into place with the tax cuts. 303-382-1150. Joe in Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Enid. Sorry. Yeah, what you're talking about with the Bush vacation.
Yeah.
The point that to be made about that is that it refutes the Republicans' claim that, well, you know, when it's brought up that the Bush administration basically took no action against terrorism until 9/11, they say, well, they were slowed down because of the disputed election, and they were trying their best, but, you know, the transition and trying to get people, you know, vetted to get into office. Well, you know, here's Bush taking a, you know, month-long vacation. That kind of destroys their point, I would say.
Well, and that, and also the New York Times did a huge piece on this over the weekend, where they pretty much destroyed it as well, and I'll share some of that. Joe, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Ned. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 63 degrees. Firefighters in Larimer County are about halfway there. I'll have that story in a moment. Now let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
First freeway problem of the afternoon. It is a disabled vehicle northbound I-25 at Washington Street. It's blocking the left lane, and according to the CDOT sensors, traffic is jammed all the way back to Colorado Boulevard and isn't moving very fast. Eastbound 6th Avenue at Sims Street in Lakewood, watch for an accident. Could be causing you some problems in there. 38th and Pecos, northwest Denver, the remnants of a minor accident. And Denver police trying to push a stall out of traffic southbound Colorado, south of Exposition Avenue. That area awfully heavily congested anyway, so this isn't helping very much. Everything else around town moving along in fairly decent shape, all things considered. April is Car Care Month. Mr. Goodwrench reminds you of the importance of keeping your GM vehicle in top condition. Visit GMGoodwrench.com to find a dealer near you. Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The Picnic Rock Fire has consumed an estimated 9,100 acres, but firefighters have the fire about 50% contained now, and they hope to have it fully contained by Wednesday. Officials will decide later this afternoon whether residents in nearly two dozen homes will be able to return to their residences. This report brought to you by Pep Boys. Today, Denver police investigators expect to turn over to the district attorney's office the case involving the recent attempted sexual assaults near the University of Denver campus. Investigators think the 40-year-old suspect arrested last Thursday is connected to those two attacks. Veterinarians are urging horse owners to get their horses vaccinated quickly to protect them from West Nile virus. Last year, more than 600 horses tested positive for the mosquito-borne disease. State health officials say that our recent warm weather has brought mosquitoes out of hibernation a little bit early this year. Get express front disc brake service at Pep Boys for just $49.99 after mail-in rebate, or get up to a $50 mail-in rebate with their best quiet stop brake service. See store for details. Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
While the other stations are into sports and infomercials on the weekend, we do what we do best. Talk.
Talk to me. Make me happy.
We're talking here.
Please listen to me.
Listen for live local talk weekends on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive, so start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. 888-617-5255. Call them now, 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
I'm Mike Stinnefort with a KNRC forecast of the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. There will be a risk of a shower or a thunderstorm, mainly over the western suburbs. Our highs low to mid-60s. Showers and a few evening thunderstorms tonight, a low near 40. A few showers Tuesday and Wednesday. Highs Tuesday mid-60s. Cooler on Wednesday with a high only in the mid-50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stinnefort on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 63 degrees. KNRC news time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny, and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching! The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
Call the host you don't agree with. Keep both sides alive and well on AM 1150 KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:44 on a Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And somebody just emailed me how to get on the audience list for the remotes at the press club. On the days that I do the show at the press club, the public is invited. So if you want to go and have lunch at the press club, you're invited. You don't have to be a member to do that on the days when I'm doing the show live. So they have wonderful food. We have a great chef over there. Chef Daniel does a fabulous job. And the press club, if you're going to get married, it's become the hot new place in town to get married or to have anniversary parties or engagement parties or the night before the wedding party or, you know, it just sort of happened. I don't know if... It's just one of those things. They did the remodel, and the space is so wonderful. The club really looks great, and I heard stories about how horrible it used to, you know, think about hard-bitten reporters putting linoleum over everything, including a gorgeous old fireplace, and using it as a beer cooler, and that gives you some sense of what the press club used to look like. Well, it has just been beautifully restored. The press club itself is over 100 years old, and the building, I don't know, I think maybe from the 20s they've had the building, and it's just lovely. It is really a jewel box. And the food, you know, you always think in places like that, the food will be, you know, iffy. The food is fabulous. So the Friday shows combined have lunch. It's moderately priced. You can get a burger. You can get a sandwich. I don't know, $7, something like that, $8, $6, whatever. And come by, have a drink, and join us. And this would be Friday. We'll be doing the show live from the Denver Press Club. Hans Blix has just been interviewed, and they asked him what he thought. You remember the head weapons inspector for the UN? They asked him what he thought was, what was George W. Bush like? And he said, he made on me a boyish impression. He was agile, moving in his chair, especially compared to Dick Cheney, who, you know, is sort of wooden. You can compare Dick Cheney to a kind of a coffin. Anyway, he talked about, the question was asked, has the world been made safer by removing Saddam Hussein? And Hans Blix answered, no, it doesn't look that way. So let me ask you this question. Do you think that the world is safer now that we got rid of Saddam Hussein? Look at what's going on in Iraq right now. It's chaos there. 303-382-1150. And again, if you're just tuning in, the Denver posted a really good story on the fact that most people aren't aware of it. When you go to DIA and get yourself onto a flight, you've got to go through the screening process. I have it down to a science. I take off my shoes. I do everything because I don't want the metal. I don't want to be wanded. I don't want to be pulled out of line and wanded because I don't think that microwave stuff all over your body, you know, if you think about people who've had breast cancer and stuff like that, I think it's not great, and who knows what the cumulative effects are. So I want to keep that from happening. I take my shoes off. I even take my watch off. I don't have anything on, really. And so then I can get through without the metal detector going off. Well, so you got to go through the metal detector. Your bags are screened. You check on. Your carry-on is definitely screened. But what is not screened is all the commercial traffic, the cargo that goes on to passenger planes. And apparently there's a substantial amount of it. And they don't really have equipment that will scan it. So if you are a terrorist and you want to blow up airplanes without ever bothering, you know, the airlines are supposed to take cargo only from known shippers. But they're not screening anything either. So I guess to terrorists who are listening to Enid Live today, that we've given you, or who read the Denver Post, which is where we have seen that story. Good piece of reporting, by the way. Very good. We're not any safer. All that screening, all that inconvenience at the airport, and the cargo comes through unscreened. And the cargo that comes in from ports in those sealed containers, unscreened. I mean, you can, you know, you watch enough movies, you know that you could set off some device with a cell phone detonated as it's coming through, let's say, the Golden Gate Bridge, coming under the Golden Gate Bridge. All right, so here's what the New York Times is saying. The warnings during the summer, this is the summer that George W. Dickey took the longest vacation, presidential vacation, that any president has taken in 32 years. And here's the they're reviewing documents, and here's what they determined, that the warnings during that summer were more dire and more specific than generally recognized. Descriptions of the threat were communicated repeatedly to the highest levels within the White House. In more than 40 briefings, President Bush was told by George Tenet, the director of CIA, of the threats involving al-Qaeda. The review suggests that the government never collected information, all the information one place that was flowing into Washington. There was also no specific new military plans for attacking Qaeda forces or the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. The Pentagon's priorities that summer were developing a national missile defense plan and conducting a broad strategy and budget review. You know, an administration gets into office and it becomes its own bureaucracy, and what do? They have one meeting after another and a lot of meetings, and they're going to consider this strategy and devise that strategy. And meanwhile, we get bombed, 9/11, because they're busy having meetings. There was also no specific new military plans. Oh, sorry. Money for fighting terrorism had to be justified against an array of other priorities, from tax cuts and education to missile defense. The White House Office of Management and Budget said in a report on August 2001 that counterterrorism programs were having difficulty competing. So you had a president who, in spite of these extremely dire warnings, takes a month off at his ranch because what does he know? Not much, apparently. And then you have people who are so, they had been in office, they were billed to you as people who were very experienced, but they really were your father's Oldsmobile. All they were thinking about was the Cold War. That's what they knew. They didn't know that times had changed in the 8 years that they were out of office, or longer. They didn't know that priorities had changed, and that now we were not dealing with state-supported terrorism. We were dealing with terrorism that, in a time of all this, in a time of internet access, in a time when you could get arms, they were readily available, not through the state, but on your own. You didn't have to be state-supported. You could be far more like a virus, lodged here, lodged there, lodged in this country, lodged in that country, which is why you need your allies. So all of that was going on. 303-382-1150. And John Dean is all over the place. He was on Moyer's show. He was a former Watergate Republican, you know, aide, the... He says that Bush ought to be impeached. He said that he believes that the Bush administration's secrecy and deception over the war with Iraq, and that's only one form of it, secrecy and deception, should result in impeachment. He said there are many things worse than Watergate in this administration, taking the nation to war in a time when they might not have gone to war, when with people dying. He had become counsel to Richard Nixon at the age of 31, and he has emerged as a central figure in the Watergate scandal and was considered the chief whistleblower that brought down Nixon's presidency. He's writing a book, and he says that the evidence is overwhelming that George W. Bush and Richard Cheney engaged in deceit and deception over going to war in Iraq. He thinks that Bush should be impeached. Should Bush be impeached? 303-382. Well, you can't, because the Republicans control everything. So there's never going to be any kind of impeachment. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Buying a new vehicle at John Elway is worry-free. Get a low, no-haggle price, a special price match guarantee, and a 3-day, 150-mile money-back guarantee with a John Elway new vehicle. Honest.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. Can we talk about your beauty salon? Are you sick of paying high prices, dealing with snooty people, and searching endlessly for parking?
We can solve your problem. Try Salon Mercedes, conveniently located at I-25 in Orchard. You'll feel at home with the friendly staff. I know I do. Enjoy plenty of free parking, reasonable prices, and unlike many salons, Salon Mercedes is open Mondays. Call 303-741-0606 for an appointment.
They're highly trained, experienced staff always gives great service. Salon Mercedes is the only Denver salon designated elite by Creative Nails Design, the top nail care company in the country.
Hairstylists use the best color line from Europe. The salon carries Bumble and Bumble and Pureology hair products and the Yonka Paris skincare line.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 in Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7, Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. Gift certificates available. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Learn firsthand about another culture without leaving the country and establish a friendship that will last a lifetime. Pacific Intercultural Exchange has international students from more than 40 countries coming to Denver for homestay programs, and they need your help. PIE is looking for host families to share the American way of life. If you're interested in hosting a foreign teen or would like more information about the program, please call PIE at 1-800-828-9001. AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Recognized by the Radio Television News Directors Association and the Colorado Broadcasters. Award-winning news and Denver's most entertaining talk. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150, KNRC.
1:55 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about how unprepared this administration has been, and it's now coming out, which you can see why they have wanted to hide so much. And I think, but you know, I'm kind of concerned because I have family, you know, I have relatives who probably haven't read a newspaper in 1,000 years, and you know, they want to vote for Bush. It doesn't matter what. There's nothing you can tell them. So I think there are a lot of people like that who are out there, and there's no way you're going to sway those people. They're just, that's it. That's what they're going to do. So logic is completely useless in this case. But the more we're finding out, the more grisly the picture looks, and the more incompetent this administration seems to be. Bob in Colorado Springs. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. This is Bob. Great topic.
Thank you.
I heard, I think it was on the morning news, and it's been several days ago, that on the day of 9/11, that Condoleezza Rice was supposed to give a major national security briefing to somebody, and the topic of that briefing was space-based missile defense.
That's right. That's right.
You know, how can they say that, you know, hey, we were right on this terrorism thing?
They weren't right on it, but I want to give you a little piece of detail on the Dick Clark stuff, which has really had a direct hit on the administration, and I'm thrilled about it. But the New York Times reported, I don't know if it's true, that Condoleezza Rice supported him when everybody else tried to diss him and get him out of the administration, so she must really think that he's got a stiletto in her back, but that's another story.
That is amazing. And the other part of it is, like, and you just mentioned it, what will it take for people to say, well, yeah, but I'm still going to vote for Bush? What do you have to put on the table in front of them that they'll actually say, well, maybe you're right? And I haven't figured out what
to do. I don't know either. I haven't got a clue. Maybe somebody's got an idea about that. Bob, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Jonathan calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I haven't got an idea about that.
Jonathan, turn your radio off. Jonathan, I'm going to hang up on you. He can't. We tell you, you've got to keep your radio off. You can't. We have a delay, and that's why it drives us all nuts. So you can't. If we put you on hold, radio's got to be off. Ed, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, Enid, I just wanted to explain why Bush took that long vacation. You see, he'd been away from Crawford so long that all that brush was, you know, really starting to grow and get out of control. He'd go back there and do some bushwhacking.
Oh.
It was, you know, if you don't keep that stuff in control, it just, you know,
I know, it's such a mess.
And, you know, the Republicans and the neoconservatives, they seem to just be like a little kid sticking their fingers in their ears and going, nah, nah, nah. They don't want to hear anything else but the same lies and lullabies they've been telling each other since Bush got in there. And I think, I don't know how to get them to take their fingers out of their ears. Maybe the overwhelming evidence.
I think what's going to come out here, when people can hear it, more people can hear it. Some people already know, and we're sort of the early warning system. You're going to find out how completely incompetent this administration has been in every single way, except for lining their pockets and figuring out a system where they never have to pay a cent in taxes and get the rest of us to pay for their lives.
And arrogant.
And I guess with a certain justification, they were able to pull the wool over people's eyes, and people aren't screaming, and they should be screaming.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to leave it there, Edward. We're out of time in this hour. I thank you for the call. One more hour of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You can join the conversation 303-382-1150. Those of you on the line, I'll take your calls as we continue in the next hour. Up next, the news. I'm Enid Goldstein, and this is AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Pete Williams. President Bush says the U.S. will keep to its promise to the Iraqi people and stick to the timetable for handing over power.
The intention is to make sure the deadline remains the same. I believe we can transfer authority by June 30th. We're working toward that date.
Even so, the president warns that he expects more attacks against coalition troops as the June 30th deadline draws closer, but says they won't end the U.S. mission. Explosions and gunfire in Fallujah as U.S. and Iraqi troops go after the people suspected of killing four American contractors. U.S. commanders say the murders will not go unpunished and that the city will be, quote, pacified. It's been a center of anti-American rage and violence. A government report says the electrical power industry is mostly to blame for last summer's blackout in the Northeast. A joint U.S.-Canadian task force says if changes aren't made, the same thing could happen again. It recommends harsher penalties for not following power-sharing rules. I'm Pete Williams, NBC News Radio.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
Hey, Law Dog, how am I going to gun you down?
With what?
With this here single-action .44 caliber. It's got a muzzle velocity of 700 feet per second and increases kinetic energy of the projectile by 63%.
Can I just see that?
Technology. It's how the West was really won. Watch Wild West Tech this Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, and you'll see how. Only on the History Channel.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 63 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Some residents forced from their homes by the Picnic Rock fire may be able to go home today. I'll have that story in a moment. Now let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25 at Santa Fe. Just getting a report of an accident. Sounds like it's on the exit ramp, so it shouldn't cause much of a problem for the freeway. The big freeway problem right now is northbound I-25. It's running very heavy from Yale on up through Washington Street because of an earlier stall. Front end of that jam is beginning to loosen just a little bit. Still an awful slow drive in there. CDOT sensors say speeds are no better than 30 miles an hour in that stretch. Monaco and Evans in East Denver watch for a minor accident. Everything else around town moving along in fairly good shape as we start the 2 o'clock hour. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice home phone and long distance, more features and 5 cents a minute long distance. Make Quest the choice for Colorado. Call 1-888-273-9221 or visit Quest.com. Restrictions apply. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, residents of nearly 24 homes evacuated by the Picnic Rock fire may be able to get home today. Christy Lee with the Larimer County Sheriff's Office says a decision on whether to let the evacuated residents return home is pending.
The situation is being assessed today, and nothing will be released until between 4 and 5 p.m. today. As to whether they can go back or not.
The fire, which resulted from some careless backyard trash burning, has consumed an estimated 9,100 acres. Firefighters have the blaze about 50% contained, and officials are saying that by Wednesday, they expect to have it fully contained. This report brought to you by Xantrex 3. Authorities are trying to determine if drugs and alcohol played a role in an auto mishap that sent all six of its teenage male occupants to the hospital. CSP Master Trooper Ron Watkins said the accident occurred about 9 this morning on Left Hand Canyon Road in Boulder County.
The driver lost control in a left-hand curve, ran off the left side, went airborne over an embankment, crashed into a clump of trees.
Watkins says the boys were all from the Longmont area and none of their injuries appear to be life-threatening. If you used your Visa or MasterCard at Walmart last Wednesday, check your bill. Englewood's First Data Corporation says a computer glitch caused double or even triple charges for some 800,000 customers. The company says the problem has been fixed. The extra charges have been reversed. Account statements will show the extra charges on April 1st with the reversal on April 2nd, but the company says you should still check your bill just to be certain that the charges were in fact reversed. In sports, the Colorado Rockies opening their regular season tomorrow in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks. Rocks play a 3-game set there before heading to L.A. later in the week. The home opener for the Rocks set for a week from today, also against the Diamondbacks. A 2-1 loss to the Nashville Predators finished out the regular season for the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. Avs failed to capture a division title for the first time in 10 years. Avs will be opening the playoffs at home against the Dallas Stars on Wednesday. Only 5 games left for the Denver Nuggets. They're off till Wednesday. They head to Phoenix that night to play the Suns. What's the number one diet pill in America? Xantrex 3. Rapid weight loss, incredible energy, and one amazing super pill. Xantrex 3 at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
The market goes up and the market goes down. The name in business is CNBC, and it's exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
I'm Mike Stenneford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. There will be a chance for shower or thunderstorm. The bulk of the rain stays off to our west. Our highs low to mid-60s. Thunderstorms this evening, then some showers overnight, low near 40. And a few showers stay in the forecast Tuesday, highs mid-60s. Chance of showers Wednesday, cooler, highs only in the mid-50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenneford on AM 1150, KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 64 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours, until 3 o'clock. We've been talking about presidential politics. We've been talking about the secrecy that everything is shrouded in with this administration. The lies, bribes, and hidden costs, let's say, of Medicare. They didn't want you to know what that cost. They don't want you to know that your kid's flu shot's got Tamiflu in it, which has got a lot of mercury in it. Nobody, you know, they don't want you to know anything. They don't want you to know what happened on 9/11, believe me. The other thing I want to throw into the conversation is that the library wants to have its own district in order to a separate library district in order to keep revenues coming in a particular way, and you'd be taxed in a particular way, I think. I can't tell you how disappointed I am in the Denver library system. It is really not a terrific system, even though it gets number one ratings. And it gets number one ratings because there's some guy sitting in his basement, and it's supposed to be the number one library in cities 500,000 and over. Please. It's as good as the New York Public Library? I don't think so. And what you've got is a guy sitting in his basement rating the libraries, and he goes by how much is checked out. Well, they're filled with DVDs and videos and tapes and all kinds of other stuff. And that's what the high traffic is. And so Denver has this reputation as a great library. It's not a great library. If you go into the central library, first of all, the periodical section is a scandal. It's not organized very well. You can't really find, you have to go up to the reference desk to find out what they actually have, because usually in libraries, everything is out there alphabetically with back issues behind. So you can just walk in and visually scan what the library has. Well, they don't have enough display space. Meanwhile, there's a tremendous amount of white, what I would call white space in the library, a lot of room, not many books, but a lot of room. And if you want books and you do an interlibrary loan, don't ask. It's a mess. It is just a mess. Let's say it took you, you know, your book checks out for 3 weeks. Let's say it took a couple weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to get the book in. You come back and you find out that your book is already due by about the time that they tell you it has just come in. And then the way they scan it, they call it an item, and you don't know if you're taking out a handful of books, you don't know which is your due date on that particular book, because the title isn't on an interlibrary loan, the title isn't there. So it's very confusing. And in the Cherry Creek branch, I was dismayed by the periodical section of the main library, but in the Cherry Creek branch, it's even worse. You go upstairs and there's short shelves, like three book lengths high, real short shelves, and not too many of them. And when I asked the librarian, Rick Ashton, about that, he said, well, you can't have too many books up there because the floor won't hold it. The building structurally won't hold it. And I'm thinking, you know, why do you want to have a library in a building that isn't structurally built for a library? Could somebody answer that question for me? So there are hardly, downstairs is mostly current bestsellers and a lot of videos and stuff that people want to check out. And upstairs there are not too many books. Very few books. It's an extremely disappointing system. And you guys in Denver think that you've got a great library. You do not. You don't know what a great library is. You could have so much better. And I understand that there's a lot of fear and intimidation that is going, in the higher management levels, filtering down at the Denver Public Library. So anybody who wants to talk about that and who knows firsthand, you don't have to use your name, but I'd like to hear what's going on, because I hear it's a real intimidating regime over there. But as a user of libraries, and I have for, you know, a zillion years, I love libraries, and I like librarians too. I love librarians and I love libraries. And I can tell you that the Denver Library, the two that I have been in, the Central and the branch, the Cherry Creek branch, I'm really disappointed in both. Really, they put a lot more thought into the architecture of the Denver Public Library than they did into what goes on inside of it, and to the books and to the way the periodicals are dealt with. I think it's really a scandal. 303-382-1150. So I wouldn't be inclined to vote them their own money in a library district, a separate library district. I wouldn't do that at all, not until they solve their problems. And I think everybody's intimidated from criticizing. But the Friends of the Library, they have really gotten terrible treatment from the library. And the Friends have helped to support, with their sales, have helped to support the library for decades. 303-382-1150. We're talking about the cargo on planes, the Denver Post. Good story. You are screened. Your check-on, your carry-on luggage is screened when you go to DIA. You got to get there a couple hours early, depending on what level of alert we are, 90 minutes at the very least. Your carry-on is screened. But the cargo that commercial carriers send on your flight, not screened. Not screened at all. There's an obvious security hole. 303-382-1150. Tony calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, this is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
I was calling because I just flew in this weekend from Puerto Rico.
First of all, are you a first-time caller?
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute. There you go, Tony.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so you came into Puerto Rico. Are you from Denver?
Right.
Okay.
And I just was on vacation in Puerto Rico, and I bought a half gallon of rum for a friend of mine in Puerto Rico and brought it to Denver. I went through two airports, and no one ever said what's in that bottle, half a gallon bottle that you have on your carry-on. I could have been a terrorist who had a bottle of gasoline. No one ever checked it.
But wait a minute. If you look at it, did they ever take it out of the box, the rum?
No, they never. It wasn't even in a box. It was just in a bottle, a half a gallon bottle.
Well, and then the bottle is sealed?
Yes.
Well, and what was, you know, people coming in from Puerto Rico or from the Caribbean are bringing back rum, and they probably figured you were fine and you didn't
yeah,
have
but
it.
I could have been a terrorist with a bottle of gasoline. Somebody should have said, hey, what's in the bottle?
Well, it
no
was.
No one ever looked.
It was sealed. Well, but what? How are they gonna? It was sealed, and it said rum.
No one ever looked to see if it was rum or not. It was in my carry-on. No
I know,
one ever looked, and it went through X-ray. And I asked the guy after I got through one X-ray. I said, "What if there was a bottle of gasoline in there? How would you know?" And you know what he told me?
What?
I wouldn't have known.
Well, in order to know, they'd have to break the seal and open it up and smell it, right?
Well, I would hope somebody would say, what's in the bottle?
But if you were a terrorist, what are you going to tell them? You're going to say it's rum, right?
Right.
Well, so the only way they can know that it's not rum is they got to break the seal, uncork it, uncap it, and smell or take a taste that it's rum, and you're bringing it as a gift. So how are people going to like that?
Well, what if I had a bottle of gasoline instead of rum? No one ever...
Are rum and gasoline the same color? I don't think so.
Yeah, but scotch and gasoline is probably the same color.
All right, now here, but aren't you more worried about the cargo that are sealed cargo that went on your plane instead of the likelihood that you're a tourist bringing back rum?
I'm concerned about the cargo because I did sit at the window and watch them load mail onto my plane, and I wondered, you know, to myself, I wonder is that. Have anybody looked at that cargo, you know?
They don't
then,
look. That's
then when
it.
I picked up the Denver Post on Sunday and I was reading, I showed my wife, I said, look, they didn't even examine the cargo that was going on to that plane.
Do you remember a few years ago, there was cargo on a plane and it blew up and it wasn't about terrorism. It was just about used oxygen containers. And what was the airline? It was one of these budget airlines. I don't remember the name of it. But this was, you get on an airline, you're an unsuspecting passenger. You just want to go from point A to point B, and somebody puts these used oxygen canisters or whatever they were that were highly flammable, and they exploded in midair, and the plane crashed, and everybody died.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, ValueJet. That's what it was, ValueJet.
Right.
Remember that story? All right. Well, Tony, I thank you for the call, and I hope you'll call us again. And how did you find us?
Oh, I just was looking for an alternative to Rush Limbaugh today, and I found you.
Did you just scan, or did you go on Google?
I just scanned.
Oh, good. Well, we're here every day, so I hope you'll continue to call in and listen. Thanks, Tony, for the call. 303-382-1150. And our bus, look at buses, because they've got all these great ads for us, too. And go to restrooms everywhere, bars and restaurants, and you'll see my Flesh Rush campaign. Listen to Enid. Flesh Rush. Caroline in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid?
Yeah,
I'm
hi.
Well, Caroline. I worked for the Denver Public Library for 22 years, and it used to be fabulous. A few years ago, Rick decided, Rick Ashton, the city librarian,
mm-hmm.
decided to go into this DVD, the media stuff, at the Cherry Creek branch, which is the one I worked at the entire time. I think he eliminated somewhere around 26% of the printed material in order to put in all of the DVDs and VCR stuff, CDs, and all that. A large number of books, and I've heard this from more than one source, in all branches, was eliminated that way. They did not look at the circulation of the book. They didn't look at the age, the title, nothing. They just tossed them out so they'd have room for this new stuff.
So that they get these high ratings for big circulation,
yeah,
and then it
yes.
keeps them number one, and it keeps him in his
stuff,
job.
Yeah, they threw out stuff that is no longer in print. They threw out. It was just incredible. People were just sickened by it. And then they brought in the DVD stuff. Of course, that stuff is so stealable that, you know, immediately a third of it was gone. I think I'm not real sure about that number, but it's stolen like crazy. Much of it by the staff members before it even hits the shelves. And I don't mean the ones in the branches, because most of the people who work at the branches are terrified people who want to keep their jobs.
Why are they terrified?
The staff intimidation is unbelievable.
Tell me, give me some examples.
They will not only give you a bad evaluation, they will make stuff up so that there is no way. And they did that to me. People have hired lawyers. You can't do anything with them. They will do anything like that to get rid of you. Now, I understand that now they wanted to get rid of specifically older, more experienced people who'd been there a long time because we cost more.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of, I believe now there is a financial incentive to quit. When I left, there was not. It was simply just completely falsified information. Supervisors, particularly at the branch level, like, you know, the lowest level of supervisors, literally just watching you every minute, and they couldn't find anything wrong to document, and they document blowing your nose practically.
Tell me about the Cherry Creek branch. Why are there so few books upstairs in the second floor? I mean, hardly any shelves and real short shelves.
Yeah, there's a good reason for that. The building originally, upstairs was just the mezzanine part, and it was used for a conference room and an office space for recording for the blind. So it was not used for books. When they renovated the building, they kept the upstairs part, the mezzanine part, to put books. Nobody checked to see if the structure would hold full. The plan was to put full, you know, the 8-10 foot shelves
mm-hmm.
up there.
They're real short shelves.
Oh, yeah. After the building was finished, they discovered that the initial structure would not hold that weight and would absolutely just crumble. So they couldn't put the full.
But wouldn't you think when you're building up for a library that one of the first things you check is could the structure handle the weight of books? Books
that
are heavy.
I would.
Wouldn't that be the first thing you'd do if you were doing your job right?
I would. Mm-hmm. And another thing I would do is to see, now the building was around 30-some years old when they renovated it. I would see if the HV system worked. It didn't before. I called the city council.
The what system?
The heating and air conditioning.
It doesn't work?
Not well, not at all, and it's because they did not replace it. I called and asked about that, the city council person at the time, this was years ago, and she said that wasn't in their budget because they had design features they wanted to put in instead. That person is not on the council anymore.
So let me just see if I've got this right. You build a library that can't hold the weight of books.
Right.
And then you have a heating and air conditioning system that actually doesn't work very well, at all.
Particularly the air conditioning. In fact, the first week that the new building was open, it didn't work at all.
And I'm not real fond of the postmodern look in there. I love libraries. I love my beloved Mill Valley Library in Marin County, where there's a fireplace, there's a deck with redwood trees,
yeah.
There's tons of books. I am amazed at a library. This is now the Denver. This isn't a little Mill Valley, which is just a little town where you could get almost anything you wanted, as a matter of fact.
Right.
I go there with books that they should routinely have because they are well-known, bestseller kind of, they don't have them. They always have to go outside to, you know, some prospector loan, interlibrary loan, something like that to get them. So what they stock, it isn't much. You've always got to wait. And then they've got an odd system for getting these books. It's just a mess, I think.
And in terms of kids wanting to get stuff for school, if they don't use the Internet, which most of them do, of course, but if they happen to want something that they can take to class with them to read, like a novel, Maya Angelou, any of that stuff. There you will find 7 or 8 copies of any classic in the entire system, maybe more here and there. Now, the editorial in the Post on Sunday said that there were 800, there's a waiting list of 800 for...
the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, that's not unusual. Before the system went in, you know, there's always been a book or two that went way over. I think Bridges of Madison County years ago went way over 1,000. So the fact that there is a long waiting list just means that the book is very popular, and that they don't buy more than 30 or 40 copies because there's really after the book is not popular anymore, then, you know, I think they probably underestimated this one.
Yeah, it sounds like the big time. Carolyn, I thank you very much for the call. 303-382-1150. Nathan, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I wanted to call in and defend the Denver Public Library system just a little bit because I am a native here, and I don't have a lot of experience with the other library systems. But
you do or you don't?
I don't have a lot of experience.
I do, and I can tell you that this one is disappointing.
Well, has it been more disappointing in the last few years? Or?
Well, I've only been here for under 2 years.
Okay.
So I can't compare it to how it was some years ago, but I can compare it to many other libraries, even in much smaller towns. And I am familiar with small-town libraries and big-city libraries, and Denver doesn't come close.
Well, since 2002, they've had city and state budget cuts of like 16%, and their purchases have declined about 34%.
Yeah, but just even some of their systems, the way, you know, building a library branch in a structure that can't support the books. That's
well,
not,
and I'll agree with you there.
That's not so smart.
No, it's not.
Okay.
But generally speaking, I'm happy with a lot of the services that I've received there. The staff, at least, is generally pretty friendly.
Staff is good. Staff seems like they're knowledgeable, and I have no problems with the staff at all. It's the structure. It's the way the library's run. It's the way the periodical section. Have you ever been to that part of the main library?
I have.
Don't you think it's a mess?
It is. I live just a few blocks from there, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Describe it to people. It's horrible. You can't even tell what they've got.
Yeah, I haven't even been in the periodical section in a year or two. But one thing that's going on right now is that the mayor has assigned a task force for the library, and they're meeting and discussing a lot of these things, and a lot of it has to do with the budget. They're really trying to figure out.
Are they finding out what an intimidating regime it is, do you think?
Well, I don't know about that. At least in the initial meeting was last week, I believe, and they really didn't comment about that in the report. But the meetings are open to the public, I believe, so. You know, if you have something to say, or anyone out there has something to say, then maybe they should take a look at the website, denverlibrary.org, and get in on those meetings.
Oh, Nathan, that's a great idea. I thank you for calling. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150, KNRC.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny, and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching. The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at velcaro.com.
Win lodging and passes to the Taste of Vail from KNRC. The Taste of Vail is a dream escape for food and wine connoisseurs and features incredible foods, wines, and activities in one of the world's most picturesque settings. Register by 9 p.m. April 5th at the RAF Gallery at Aspen Grove. Win 2 nights lodging and passes to the Taste of Vail. Register at RAF Gallery at Aspen Grove by 9 p.m. Monday, April 5th. Winner to be announced Tuesday, April 6th.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. It was a day of light volume on Wall Street, with investors generally upbeat about the start of earnings season tomorrow. The Dow rose 88 points to 10,558. The Nasdaq gained 22, closing at 2,079. A Conference Board survey of CEOs finds confidence in the economy soared to a two-decade high in the first quarter. And supporting that optimism was today's 12th straight monthly increase in the non-manufacturing index, a much better-than-expected jump of 5 points. The report showed growth in both employment and prices paid. An Ohio firm is recalling nearly 600,000 TV VCR carts because they can tip over. Souder Woodworking has received at least 13 reports of tipping carts, one which resulted in the death of a baby in Pennsylvania. And it was heaven at the box office over the weekend for Hellboy. The live-action film based on a comic book character sold more than $23 million worth of tickets, taking first place. Walking Tall strolled in at number two. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
Chances are when you were young, you had a sense that one day you would find your soulmate, marry, and live happily ever after. Then you grew up and realized that it's hard to find that perfect love. And happily ever after may be a dream you're close to giving up. Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. And I don't want you to give up that dream of finding your soulmate. Because at eHarmony.com, happily ever after is a dream that can come true. It just takes the right person. At eHarmony, we help you find that right person by matching you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility. Broad-based compatibility is the reason more eHarmony matches result in marriage than any online dating service. So log on to the fastest growing relationship site on the web and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, where compatibility makes all the difference in the world.
Most entertaining talk shows. Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:30 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Getting overcast here in Lodo, so it looks like maybe we're going to see some rain. It was nice and sunny a little bit earlier. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about politics. We're talking about this, the Paul Child shooting. James Turney ought to be fired. There ought to be no question about that. We're talking about the secrecy of this administration. Now we're talking about the library in Denver. Those of you who live in the outlying areas where you have your own library systems, you might want to compare Denver's, but I'm really disappointed, and maybe I haven't been to enough of the branches, but the Central Library is a disappointment, the periodical section anyway, and Cherry Creek has hardly any books in it, a lot of DVDs, and the building is not structurally sound enough for books, and we're hearing reports about people in the library, librarians, workers in the library, feeling really intimidated by this administration, and certainly the friends of the library. There was an extensive, a big story that Stuart Steers did for Westward, talking about how that relationship had deteriorated. The Friends had supported the library for so many decades with book sales and so on, and it's been a horrible relationship with Rick Ashton, the present administration. I don't know if they've solved it. It doesn't sound like they have. But those of you who are library connoisseurs and want to see a really, I think, especially in tough economic times, boy, the library is your savior. Not only can you get books and you don't have to buy them, you get them out of the library, but you also can access information online that might help you with your job search and help you with your life. And I just think the library is a great, rich resource. And if they have a waiting list of over 800 for the Da Vinci Code, please buy a couple of more books. You can buy the Da Vinci Code for about $15 at Costco or at Sam's Club or places like that. Get a few more copies so it can circulate. And when it's all finished and you have too many copies of the Da Vinci Code, put them out there at the library sale. Somebody will buy them for $1 or $2 a hardback. 303-382-1150. Lisa calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Lisa.
I have a couple issues. The biggest problem I have with the library since they renovated it is the process of finding what's on the shelves. I've had problems where I'll go to a computer, it'll tell me a book's on the shelf, and I'll go to the shelf and it's not there. And I've also had times where I've gone and couldn't get to a free computer to find if what I wanted was there or not. And then I was there on the day of the St. Patrick's Day parade because we were at the parade with my 13-year-old and 6-year-old sons.
We were in the parade. Did you see us? KNRC, we were
I didn't see it.
We were third from the last, so you really had to have been a hearty soul to stay for the whole thing.
Oh, I don't think we stayed. It got really windy. We were right at the beginning.
Wow.
I'm sorry I missed you.
Oh, yeah.
He had this big project during CSAPs, which was unfortunate, but we were on the third floor in the going into the nonfiction area. And there are rows.
Is this Central Library you're talking about?
Yes, Central. Mm-hmm. Because we were downtown, we just thought, well, you know, we'll stop and get what we need there. And as we were going through, there were people, men on the computer, and a few of them were looking at, like, pornography ads. And my 13-year-old son is just looking at these computer, and he looked at me and got really red. I don't think my 6-year-old son noticed, but it's not a place where I want to go and get books anymore. I'm really disappointed.
Well, first of all, I don't think there should be filters in the library. But I have to tell you, I was at Cherry Creek, and I got on the computer there because I wanted to find something. And all of a sudden, these porn ads popped up, and I couldn't get rid of them. And then I thought, oh, everybody's going to think this is what I was looking at. But there was no way. There was no way that I knew how to get rid of them.
That's really unfortunate. Then they should find a different way to... They should put their computers in a different way so you just don't notice that walking by. That was
right.
So inappropriate for my children, I thought.
Right. I'm with you on that. Lisa, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Helen, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Helen?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
Hello. I listened to the interview between Bill Moyers and John Dean, who worked for the Nixon administration, and I think it was so important to hear from somebody who had firsthand experience with cover-up and deception speak. And based on his investigation and his research, he concluded that the Bush administration is more guilty than any other administration of cover-up and deception. And I feel, yes, he should be impeached, because it wasn't that he just made a mistake in going to into a war that was not necessary at all, but it led to the deaths of so many people.
Well, that's it.
Why don't people realize that? So almost 600 American soldiers killed, thousands of Iraqis. It was all unnecessary.
I'm with you, and he thinks that what's going on now in this administration is so much worse than what happened with Watergate, and there's so much less outrage about it, which is its own story, I think. But there can't be an impeachment because everything's in control of the Republicans, and so they're not going to impeach one of their own. But I think what we can do is we can vote this crew out of office. And in the coming Vanity Fair, the May edition, which I don't think is out yet on the stands, apparently at a dinner party right shortly after 9/11, Bush was having a discussion with Tony Blair and was saying that, you know, Afghanistan first, but then we're going to go right into Iraq. So he keys in right on Iraq, and this Vanity Fair story will discuss that in the May edition.
Yes.
I'll be interested to see what you know, comes out. But the other thing is, if you have a chance, look at the April edition of Vanity Fair, which should be still on the stands, and they're talking about the black box voting, what we have been talking about for a long time, how you can hack the system, how you can not leave any footprints, how the owners of these e-voting establishments are Republicans, some of whom are publicly committed to reelecting George W. Bush. The head of Diebold is one of Bush's pioneers, so that means he's raised, what, $100,000, $200,000 for the Bush reelection campaign?
Wow.
And
I wonder, the name of the book is Worse Than Nixon, that John Dean wrote.
We're going to try and get him on. It's called, I think it's called Worse Than Watergate.
Worse Than Watergate.
But you were on the right track.
And it's so important to realize that the Nixon administration did not cause any deaths and killings, but this administration has.
Well, I'm with you, and that's why I want to talk to John Dean about this. Helen, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 64 degrees now. Fire crews in Larimer County have been able to get the upper hand on the Picnic Rock fire. I'll have that story in a moment. Now let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Everything on the freeway system now pretty much back to normal. Earlier stall northbound in the valley at Washington all cleaned up. Traffic moving through there in pretty good shape. Everything else on the freeway system in pretty good shape, too. A little lighter than normal volume today, perhaps because Denver Public Schools are on spring break. Minor accident off the freeways at Parker Road and Peoria. Another one involving an RTD bus at Colfax and Grape in East Denver could cause you a little bit of a slowdown in there. Right now, Pep Boys Express brand name oil change is just $16.88. Choose Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others. Done in a half an hour or less, or it's free. See the store for details. Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Cooler weather has been helping firefighters get control of the Picnic Rock fire in Larimer County. The blaze is now about 50% contained. The fire, which began last Tuesday when a backyard trash fire got out of control, has scorched 9,100 acres and destroyed one home. This report brought to you by GM Goodwrench. Six teenage boys were injured this morning when their car went out of control on left-hand Canyon Road in Boulder. The boys were all from Longmont. None of their injuries appear to be life-threatening. Investigators are checking whether drugs or alcohol might have played a factor in that crash. Pam Dale has lost her battle with breast cancer. The meteorologist with 7 News died yesterday after her second round of fighting the disease. Dale, who lost the use of her legs in a horseback riding accident as a teenager, leaves behind her husband, a son, and a daughter. April's Car Care Month. Mr. Goodwrench reminds you of the importance in keeping your GM vehicle in top condition. Visit GMGoodwrench.com to find a dealer near you. Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:39.
We've got our own Reagan Revolution every weeknight at 6 p.m. Hear Michael Reagan exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Erman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Mike Stenifford with the KNRC forecast on the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. There will be a risk of a shower or a thunderstorm mainly over the western suburbs. Our highs low to mid-60s. Now we'll see some thunderstorms across the entire area this evening, then a few showers overnight. Our lows near 40. A few showers stay in the forecast for Tuesday and Wednesday. High Tuesday mid-60s. Cooler on Wednesday with highs only in the mid-50s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenifford on AM 1150 KNRC.
63 degrees now under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 2:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mm-hmm.
now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:42 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. The Onion is out, and our Flush Rush campaign is in full flower. You can see it all week long. You might want to clip it out because it's actually something you might want to put on your wall. It's hilarious, and it says Flush Rush, Enid Goldstein from noon to 3 p.m. AM 1150 KNRC, and so check out The Onion. It's a free publication, and it's satirical, and it's very funny, and we're in there. And also, I just want to give you a heads up. Kate Lehrer will be joining us tomorrow. She's Jim Lehrer's wife. She has a new book out. Philip Margolin, who's a best-selling author. He's got a new book out, Sleeping Beauty. It's already on the bestseller list. Brian Greene, another book on the bestseller list. His new book, The Fabric of the Cosmos, and a previous book, The Elegant Universe. And we are live on Friday from the Denver Press Club. It's the baseball edition, or bizball. Next week, Monday, Craig Unger, who has written the book House of Bush, House of Sod, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. He will be joining us. So we've got a lot of things cooking, and then there will be other things that we don't have on the schedule yet. But you can always check the website, www.knrcradio.com. You can email me, Enid, at knrcradio.com. You can, if you click on my part of the website, the hosts, and go to my name, you can find out what the schedule is of upcoming guests. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150 is the number. We've been talking about the administration. We've been talking about the Denver Library, the public library, which I think is a scandal. It's not very good. Those of you who don't have anything to compare it to, I guess you think it's great. But I've lived in towns that are really tiny that seem to have a better library system and more well-thought-out functions than the Denver Public Library, if you can imagine that. And also, we're talking about the Governor Owens extramarital rumors. A lot of people commented on that. Some of you think I shouldn't be talking about that. I think it's a fair question when somebody has made their reputation on family values and announces a marital separation after almost 30 years of marriage and never says nobody else was involved. It certainly leads to the idea that somebody else might have been. And the rumors have been incredible. I mean, they get more and more fanciful. Some of them may even be true. A lot of reporters think that there's truth to these rumors, but nobody's been able to nail them down, so right now there's still rumors. Also, Condoleezza Rice going to testify before the 9/11 Commission. She's going to do this on April the 8th, I believe. And it is being reported, Newsweek is reporting, that how she got pushed into it, or that one of the things that pushed her into it, was that the head of the 9/11 Council, Executive Director Philip Zelikow, who is an historian, faxed a photo to the White House Counsel's office with a note saying that if the White House did not allow Condoleezza Rice to testify in public before the commission, the photo would be all over Washington within 24 hours. And what was that a photo of? Well, the photo was from 1945. It was from a New York Times story that showed then presidential chief of staff Admiral William Leahy appearing before a special congressional panel investigating the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. The point was clear, that the White House could no longer get away with the claim that Rice's appearance would be a profound breach of precedent. In fact, there was precedent, and they had a picture of it, and they were going to flash it into newsrooms and newspapers all over the country if she didn't agree to testify. And Newsweek is reporting that that's what pushed her testimony into becoming a reality. Newsweek is also asking, has the war made us any safer? Do you feel that we are safer having gone into Iraq? Hans Blix says that we are not safer having gone into Iraq. A new poll, this just in, says that Bush is losing support in Iraq. Public approval of President Bush's handling of Iraq has slipped to a new low alongside his overall job rating after last week's grisly deaths of four contractors in Fallujah. And we still don't know why they were there and why they were running around in an unarmored Humvee in one of the most dangerous parts of Iraq. Still, a majority supports his decision to use military force in Iraq. 4 in 10, or 40%, approve of the way Bush is handling Iraq, while 53% disapprove of the way he is handling Iraq. And this is down from 6 in 10 who approved in mid-January. So in mid-January, 60% approved of how he was handling Iraq. Now only 40% approve and 53% disapprove. And this is according to a poll conducted by the Pew Pew. Research Center for the People and the Press. Pew. That's what the White House is saying. Ooh, pew. Bush's overall job approval is at 43%. His approval is at 43%, a low point for the presidency, down from 56% in mid-January. In the new poll, 47% disapproved. Disapproved of Bush's job performance. Bush's job approval soared to 90% after 9/11 and remained in the 70s for almost a year after that. Remember now, whatever it costs us in the coming budget, whatever it's going to cost us to continue the war in Iraq, it's not in the public, in the budget. They haven't added that figure on. So, and whatever is going on in Iraq now, it's just a mess. More people, you know, they're getting picked off like flies. So are we any safer, do you think? 303-382-1150. They're reporting that Bush's credibility now rests on Condoleezza Rice's shoulders. They're also reporting that she spends almost every weekend with the Bushes. That she either goes with them to Camp David or she goes with them to the ranch. Do you think that undercover of night that a threesome is going on here? Is this a menage a trois? What's the story? I mean, could you stand to spend every weekend with your boss? Unless, do you really love your, do you want to really spend every weekend? I mean, don't you want downtime? How, and staying in their home or, you know, even if it's a public home like Camp David? You want to comment about that? 3-0. Am I the first to suggest that something untoward may be going on? Then, the New York Times did this whole story about how Bush is surrounded by strong women. Karen Hughes, who's, you know, 8 feet tall, and she's a strong woman. And then Laura's probably calls her shots at home, I'm guessing. And Condoleezza Rice, who has sort of taken him in hand and tried to teach him about foreign policy. And what does she know? She only knows about, she's a Russia specialist. Well, guess what? If you were a Russian specialist, you might as well be out of a job. You might as well be dealing in buggy whoops because it's not an issue right now. The Cold War has been over for, you know, at least 10 or 15 minutes, maybe even a couple hours. So if you are a Cold War specialist, you're kind of like, you got to retrain. You got to go into job retraining. And she wasn't smart enough to realize that she needed to retrain herself in terrorism. So there you go. And you have got Merle Haggard, who I guess isn't afraid of being Dixie chicked right now. Merle Haggard is saying that he's as red, white, and blue as they come, but he's disappointed in the way that President Bush has handled Condoleezza Rice's upcoming testimony before the 9/11 panel. He's 66 years old. He's been critical in song and interviews of the Iraq War and what he views as an erosion of individual freedom. I certainly wasn't going to vote for Gore, so he was my man, he said, of Bush, but I'm really not very happy with him. Does that describe a number of you, enough of you anyway? Then there's a story, another way that the administration has shrouded. There were chemical tests that were going to be done in Europe so that there would be some kind of oversight on various chemicals and so forth. And the Bush administration has undermined that in a stealth way. Everything they do is stealthy. A report released by the House Committee last week describes how the Bush administration worked with the U.S. chemical industry to undermine, oh, there's a surprise, undermine, European plan that would require all manufacturers to test industrial chemicals for their effect on public health before they were sold in Europe. So here is the Bush administration siding with the chemical industry. What is in place in this country is so weak, and it's been in place since the 70s. And then you have the Bush administration not wanting to inform parents that there is mercury-based Tamiflu in the flu shots that their little kids are going to get at a time when, according to a recent study, TV watching, little kids, you shouldn't be doing this. TV watching can alter their brains and make them ADD. And so if you're using the TV set as a babysitter, don't park your kids there for extended periods of time. This is why moms and dads were invented. This is why television sets do not give birth to children. Moms and dads are invented so that they can interact with their children, not park them in front of Sesame Street forever. The Treasury Department analyzes John Kerry's tax proposals, and the numbers quickly find their way to the Republican National Committee. The Health and Human Services Department spends millions on ads promoting President Bush's prescription drug plan. The House Resources Committee posts a diatribe against Kerry's absurd, quote, absurd, energy ideas on its website. With friends like these, all operating at taxpayer expense, who needs a reelection campaign? So the point of this is, and Solana's reporting this, not only does the president have a war chest of several hundred million dollars, but at taxpayer expense, you're having Health and Human Services promoting Bush's prescription drug plan. You have the Treasury Department analyzing why John Kerry's tax plan isn't something that you would want. And then you've got the House Resources Committee posting a diatribe against Kerry's absurd energy ideas on its website. So you've got the government helping in the re-election campaign of Dickey. How you feel about that? You like your tax dollars at work there? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 cannot be held liable if our diverse talk programming forces you to use excessive brain power. Always entertaining and never boring. AM 1150 KNRC.
D.R. Horton, America's Builder Melody Series. Owned for under $1,000 a month. No down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call 1-866-MELODY-H.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Former Tonight Show band leader Doc Severinsen leads the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and From Russia with Doc on April 9th and 10th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
Strawberry Cool Whiz!
Strawberry has arrived and you won't believe your eyes. Creamy pastel pink, even better than you think. To the Cool Whip.
Strawberry Cool Whip.
Berry, berry, baby now.
Cool Whip, whip top babe.
New strawberry helps you vary all your recipes. Strawberry flavor is finally here. Wish berry season could last all year.
Young Voices of Colorado, South Metro Denver's premier children's choir, will debut Come Sing in the Springtime, a work from Denver's renowned conductor Dr. Austin Lovelace, on Saturday, May 1st at 7 p.m. Young Voices of Colorado will perform Come Sing in the Springtime at the Gates Concert Hall at DU's Newman Center for the Performing Arts. Tickets range from $8 to $15 and can be purchased by calling 303-357-ARTS or www.ticketmaster.com.
AM 1150 KNRC, Radio Disney, and the Denver Zoo are teaming up to celebrate the return of spring during Great to Be Green on Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Denver Zoo. Bring the whole family. There will be lots of great events for kids like a scavenger hunt, close-up encounters with wild animals, and an opportunity to learn how to help save animals all over the world. Great to Be Green this Saturday at the Denver Zoo, brought to you by Radio Disney and AM 1150 KNRC. Was Doug Kellett really on vacation recently? The word we got is he went to Florida for MTV's Spring Break. Oh boy, are we going to see Doug in all his glory on that channel?
Things are not as they appear.
We certainly hope not. You can catch the radio version of Doug much, much prettier afternoons at 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, and I was intrigued to see that the paper today was reporting, and I forget which one it was, reporting that Kerry actually has a chance in, oh, here it is. It was The Rocky reporting that Kerry actually has a chance in Colorado. Well, if you've been listening to Enid Live for any length of time, I saw the polling results a couple weeks ago where they're neck and neck in Colorado, Bush and Kerry. I was amazed to see it. So do we have to wait 2 weeks for The Rocky to figure out that there's a chance for Kerry and that campaign strategists see a glimmer of hope for a win in Colorado? I think Colorado is in play here. I think that you can, I think that this, we are now, I think we're a swing state, aren't we? Poll question now. This is the Rocky CBS 4 poll. George Bush, 49%. John Kerry, 40%. Now, a couple weeks ago, it was more neck and neck than that. So I think there's a real chance here. You got to get busy and get the vote out. That's what you got to do. And be sure that people aren't e-voting on these machines that can hack and change the vote tally without leaving any footprints at all, which is most of these e-machines. Vince, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. First time caller, so lay one on me.
All right. There it is.
All right, baby. Hey, you were asking about comments about Condoleezza Rice and Bush and spending a lot of time there.
Yeah.
I've never heard that rumor, but in the conspiratorial circles that I run in, Victor Ash, the former mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, and recently appointed Bush appointee to the Fannie Mae board, was his Skull and Bones brother, initiator. Kerry was class of 66, Skull and Bones. Ash was 67, and Bush was 68. There's been some rumors that some Secret Service agents have recently resigned and want to do some talking about the relationship between Mr. Victor Ash and George Bush, who spends a lot of time in the Knoxville area flying back and forth.
Don't tell me they're a couple. I don't think I'm going to buy that.
Hey, you know what? Stranger things have happened.
Well, I know that. Well, that's what some of the rumors about Governor Owens is, that he and Mark Holtzman are going to go arm-in-arm into the sunset together. But,
well, just do a Google on Victor Ash, Bush, Skull and Bones, any of those. Throw those comments.
Let's see what comes up.
You'll come up with some interesting stuff.
I was only kidding about Condoleezza Rice and Ménage à Trois, but I have to tell you, I mean, could you, as much as you may like your boss, do you want to spend every weekend with your boss? Don't you want some downtime?
No,
especially
sick and wrong.
Thank you, Vince. I thank you for the call. I mean, I do think it's kind of odd, don't you? And he's got all these strong women around him, which I sort of like, but they're like his mom. His mom is really strong, and his mom is the enforcer. Barbara, who everybody thought was the silver fox, but she's the one with the long memory, and she can be a very nasty piece of work, according to some of the Bush biographers. I'm Ina Goldstein. I want to thank a lot of people today. Joe Anderson, thank you for producing a wonderful show. Well, we hope it was wonderful. You did a wonderful job. If I wasn't wonderful, that's my fault. Thank you, Sean McKenzie, for keeping us on the air and pretending that you're Jordan Lyles, but you're not. We know you're not. Thanks to all of you who called and listened, and let's do it again tomorrow, noon to 3. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Happy Passover. And try to clean up any mess. And I'm going to start learning Italian tonight. I'll report back tomorrow. Ciao.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brad Gibson. President Bush says he's going to push ahead with his plan to transfer sovereignty in Iraq at the end of June, and a new round of violence will not change that. The president said that the closer the U.S. comes to the deadline, the more likely that people will change their will. At the Stop That Challenge, NBC's Tom Aspel in Baghdad says coalition forces are ready for a major incursion into Fallujah to quell violence there. 1,300 Marines have the town of Fallujah surrounded, about 35 miles west of Baghdad, and it's where four American security contractors were killed last week. The Marines are backed up by a contingent of Iraqi security forces, and they say they will search for the insurgents responsible for the killings of those Americans. The man accused in a series of Ohio highway shootings is pleading innocent to 24 counts in the case. Charles McCoy could be facing the death penalty. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up almost 87 points. The Nasdaq rose almost 22. I'm Brad Gibson, NBC News Radio.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 64 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Fire crews continue battling the picnic.